This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, we are here. Oddly, for the past several weeks, this is almost early for us to be on the air.
Oh, it is?
Only 3 minutes
weird.
After. Yeah.
I don't like it.
Trying to get those little, trying to right the ship, you know, get on the right track again.
I love all the nautical metaphors.
I'd like to begin the show with, by the way, this is show 302. It is the 18th of April in the 2017 year. There's one thing that happened this afternoon that may be beneficial or detrimental to the show. I'm not sure. We will find out as the show plays on. There was a production meeting between Kat and Al that I was a part of. I was invited to, but I was busy doing other things. So we are yet to determine whether or not that was a benefit to this show's production or not, because I wasn't included. So we're going to find out. Just
clearly a benefit.
Yes, we may never know.
Here's what happened. Alcohol was consumed ahead of time in preparation.
That used to be how this show went.
I
we would
only
start
go better.
Drinking earlier than we have. We've become lax in that. Plus the fact that some of us drink less than we virtually ever have during this 5 years.
And I was kind of thirsty when I arrived at the wine bar, so I downed my first two glasses of wine and what turns out to be a state record.
Breakneck speed.
State record. Wow.
It's true. We consulted the judges.
Yeah.
Judges?
One. Winner.
Yeah. Winner.
We approve it. My God. I think before we get to it, this is the picture I was laughing at just because I thought it was great. Look at the shoulder pads on that bitch. Well, it's like she's
so realistic.
It reminds me of the Carol Burnett skit where she's got
the
curtain rod across her shoulders. Just saw it in the window. Look at that. Joan
Rivers. But look at the slimming it does to her waist.
Sure. Well, I don't think she was a very large woman to begin with. She was a statuesque woman.
She had Mamacita as her personal trainer. How could she be?
According to the last episode, the eyebrows and the mouth are hers. She can let somebody else do the eyelashes. Then it went on from there.
And those eyebrows became a thing of their own.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. For those of you wondering why the Q-Talk logo is over where Marnie normally sits, it's because...
Because terrible cold sore.
Marnie is not here this week. She called out late because of work obligations. And for those of you who don't know, Marnie is a, I guess the correct term, she's a social worker, right?
Ish
for a lot of families who need help in various times of need. And duty called. And like I keep telling her over and over, do not feel bad about missing the show. We all get paid the same. And work comes first. And those people depend on her. So she is out running around taking care of whatever it was that needed to be taken care of.
It's my understanding that she works for the service provider end of that whole deal, not necessarily the state. Like, she's not like a state social worker.
No, you're great. She used to be.
She works for the service provider.
Correct. That is exactly.
And connects people. She's like a matchmaker, if you will.
From
those with needs to those who provide.
If you need a need, she'll get you a match. That's lovely. I enjoy it. Starting out with song. Later, there might be an impersonation. You never know.
I hope there's an accent in here.
A dialect. I have a story that warrants one, but I'm not sure if we're going to get there.
Oh my gosh, we're going to get there.
Well, at your own peril.
Oh my heaven's sakes. Well, again, how did the production meeting go? Did you get anything accomplished?
We sure did. Okay. We went to two bars.
Two bars.
I know
the Rotten Grapes,
which is the most lovely place that I've been to in a long time, and I want to live there.
Do they have anything other than wine?
Beer.
Yes.
That's
it's
it.
Beer and wine.
It's wine and beer. It's your Postino. But what Postino started off as, they just throw up a garage door and you're in a cozy little setting with a lot of wine.
Super cute. Lots and lots of wine.
Okay.
And lots of beers, lots of choices. And
and me, I'm wondering about their overhead and all their inventory. I'm like, wait a minute. How much money are they really making over here with six bar stools around the way? But
yeah, and they're going to...
I like that your financial interest...
I know, I'm...
The analytical
well,
side of your
everybody that works at a bar does that. It's like, wait a minute.
They're like, wait a minute, how are you making money over here? Because there were four people on staff when we got there.
Yeah, and they are, like, full. There's, what, 36, there's 40 bottles of wine like available by the glass. There's champagnes.
There were 100 things on the wall. They've got a number. There were 100 things written on the wall.
There literally are 100 things on the wall that you can choose from. And so it's a big selection. Huh? But they're going to move across the breezeway.
Oh, are they?
If you're local and you're in the central corridor. Rotten Grapes is by the Landmark building.
Central and Camelback
area. Central and Camelback. And they're going to move across the breezeway and have both sides open with the patio in between. So they have more space for seating and stuff like that. And
very nice.
I saw on their Facebook page live music is coming. But it's really good. And they have a nice selection of wines. Domestic, imported, though there's local beers, there's far away beers, whatever that word is.
Beyond local.
We'll slightly beyond. But it's all
local and beyond.
And beyond.
To infinity and beyond.
Or the Bed Bath.
And then we went to Yama and we tried Japanese tacos.
Oh, I've not had those.
After I shrugged them off and said, enough with everybody trying to...
Trying to taco their way through a meal.
He's poo-pooing his way through it, and then the cute sushi chef leans over and he says, oh, they're very good. I recommend them. This one goes, yeah, all right, we'll try it.
All right, well, yeah.
You sold it.
If Christy Yamaguchi leans over the counter and says, try it.
If you're going to recommend it, I'm not going to, you know what I mean? If you're gonna stand up and defend it, then all right, I got to go.
Gotcha.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, and they were really good.
It was a very tasty, crunchy-shelled sushi.
Sushi taco.
Very nice and spicy. I have no idea what the fish was inside of it, but...
It looked to be a salmon, perhaps.
Yeah, salmon with jalapeno and wasabi built right in, so it was spicy.
You know,
and
we
crunchy.
Like the wasabi.
And then they really lured good. Us. They gave us like a dessert.
They lured.
Sushi.
Oh, and they wouldn't even name it. They haven't named it yet. Sushi freestyling, and they gave us a little dessert.
I don't speak Japanese, so
that's
I don't
what they
know
called
what
called it.
Shut up, sushi freestyle.
Yeah,
it was freestyle sushi.
All right,
he was freestyling it, so he didn't.
So many things. I just realized looked at the server.
So I didn't. I never understood what the fish was that was in the freestyle sushi at the end. And he said it like twice. Like I should have known what it was, but I didn't know. But it was crunchy, and it was another one. It had
sweet. It was kind of sweet.
Sweet, a little bit spicy. It was with some avocado and I guess sesame seeds to give it a little bit of.
It reminded me kind of if you've ever ordered the Tootsie Roll anywhere that does basic sushi.
Oh, okay.
No, seriously, because it's got the crunchies and the eel sauce, and it's sweet. And,
oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But this had a little bit of but it was very summery, very like. Warm summer day deliciousness.
Well, they're prepping for our season here, which is just inferno. You know,
right? But summer. Right, but right now, you're not allowed to bitch about beautiful dry 96 degrees.
No,
with, it was
the only thing. And
today.
I mean, you're well on the bandwagon. I just broke down today and turned the air on for the full day because normally I do it on Tuesday just for evening, but today it was a little warm.
I want to say yesterday, the day before, I finally had to like. Okay, one day I woke up in the middle of the afternoon, in between shifts, and I was like, sweet baby Jesus, it's too hot. And that was, so I don't know if that was Sunday afternoon that I was like, yeah, we need to stop pretending. And I can't open the windows, even if there was a breeze.
Yeah.
Like the allergies are so bad that I'm like, we're in just total lockdown.
So there it is. But I think I'm still going to be able to, pardon me, get a few more nights out of the...
Oh, the nights are lovely.
Because I have the whole house fan that draws air through, and that works out real well. But I am, it was one of those things, you know, you're awakened in the middle of the night by something that has repeatedly gone on, and then you wake up and it just hits you wrong. You're like, fuck it, I'm done with this. I'm so tired of this.
I feel like that's how Sharon feels about me.
Okay, yeah. Well, at about 4:30 this morning... For the umpteenth time, when the neighbor's fucking car alarm goes off, because that much of a knock in the world sets the goddamn thing off, it went off again. And it went off for several minutes before they woke up, and then they shut the goddamn thing off. Now, it's in their driveway, not mine. I hear it immediately.
Sure.
For some reason, because it's on my side, you know, their driveway, whatever. Yeah. So...
people who need to hear car alarms never hear car alarms.
Apparently not. So I've already suggested, I'm like, take that fucking car to the dealer and you have them turn that down. The sensitivity needs to be turned down. And now, last night I was about ready to get out of bed and go over and beat on their fucking front door. But he got it turned off just before I was ready to get my feet out of the bed. I was so fucking tired of it. It's just annoying as shit to me. It's your car, fix the or just shut the fucking alarm off. I'm tired of it.
Well, so here's what you do. You just, before you go to bed, you wander on over there, you pop the hood, you pull the battery out, bingo, bango, no more alarm.
Well, the unfortunate thing is that fucking alarm will go off.
Or if I could
only
suggest
until
a
you
small
disconnect
handgun
the power, right.
And just shoot repeatedly at the front of the car until
also
someone shows up.
Anybody.
Anybody.
And really, you just have to find the horn and yank the wires out.
I think
that.
I'm like, actually that was my other thought. I'm like, I'm just gonna go disconnect the fucking horn.
No, that'll do it.
Well, I mean, my thought would be take a baseball bat to the motherfucker when that shit goes on.
Either
if
way,
if you're not gonna respond to the alarm you set, fuck you. I am now gonna assault your car.
Oh, and then the other.
I'll take the community service.
I'm
you know what I mean?
There's an insurance policy that's going to cover the damage somewhere.
And I'll just tell you, like, you made me go out and find out what was wrong with your car, and so I made something wrong with your car.
Fix that problem.
I made sure that the next time you hear that alarm, you're going to wake up to prevent me from hitting it with a baseball bat.
One of the last times it went off a few weeks ago in the middle of the night was, and it wouldn't shut off, was the guy who owns the car was at his boyfriend's house for an overnight. So he wasn't even fucking home.
Right.
So the roommate had to then wake up and go figure out where the goddamn clicker was for the car. Like, we are done with this game.
Yeah.
It's now, it's bugging me, and I am the reason that this whole block is as safe as it is.
So I want you all to just stop. And
put
a piece of paper on the window that says, turn that fucking alarm off or you will not have a car window tomorrow.
Or die.
I'll help you.
Yes. There's that.
So violent.
That shit is annoying.
It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
Because I live across from townhomes, so you can't quite pinpoint the noise. And it's very rare now because I think there's like 3 people left in America that think car alarms do anything but annoy your neighbors and make enemies. So
that's what insurance is for.
Every once in a while, a car alarm still goes off, and you can like. You feel the venom coming from the
everybody,
people in the townhome.
Right.
Because they're trapped in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't...
And it echoes through those fucking things.
Yeah, you can't pinpoint it.
Jenny, I don't give a goddamn if it's a dirty sensor or not. But I just want the horn... We'll just disconnect the fucking thing. I don't care. Just
and I think Matt Maresco just put it on his page that he wants something that shocks people. If they touch your car... They get an electric shock.
I agree with that.
Because then you'll walk away faster than that car alarm.
Yeah. Mom, I agree. Audio is garbled on the audio-only feed. I would suggest restart your Apple TV and try again, because you're never going to be happy with the audio-only feed. Just a little tip from your son. Anyway, what you been up to, Kat Carlson?
Well played, sir or ma'am. I had to come out today. I went to the gym. It's not the first time. I know, everyone is stunned. It's not the first time. It won't be the last time.
I don't know how to react to that.
I know,
what
no
do
one
do?
Knows. No one knows.
There's no sounder. I have no... I wasn't ready for that.
Nobody's ever prepared. I feel like I just had to come out with it and just tell everyone I've been going to the gym.
I'm not sure...
I'm
not sure if this one is the correct one. Wait. Is that the correct one or... I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
Wow.
Yeah, I finally came out on social media about it, and the replies were appropriate.
What does that mean?
Angry when necessary.
I was asked if they serve mimosas there. To which.
What gym has a treadmill now? Or no, excuse me. What bar has a treadmill now?
I know, right? Somebody said you spelled bar wrong.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I enjoy that.
But no, that's a thing in my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully
was today just
end.
Paperwork and sign up, or did you actually?
No, I signed up before Pride. I've actually been going.
You never know. People
that's
like,
fair. No, people do that. Yeah.
I'm going to go sign up today, but I'm going tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I've kept it very secret for a month.
Oh, wow.
I know. Under wraps. Look out. Still haven't lost any weight, but yeah, whatever.
Hey, even the Titanic took a minute to sink.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. It's a true story.
By the way, it's April. Happy anniversary, Titanic. I mean, was it April
12th? Oh, my God,
12th?
Yeah. It was the 14th or the 15th. It was tax day.
Something like, oh, you...
I'm pretty sure it was the 15th.
In that week, kind of like the anniversary of the show. It's sometime this week.
In there. But other than that, astounding news, I am just checking...
Breaking pins. Did you get your order yet? Have you received your order?
The final order of Kat Carlson Memorial T-shirts. What order? Oh my God! My lawnmower.
Lawnmower bag.
My gosh, I did, and it worked. It worked beautifully.
We are nothing but happy.
Beautifully
proud.
Realized.
God, I was so
I
happy.
Did
to...
That's true. I put that on Easter. In fact.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, happy Easter to me. I assembled it with no problem and went right onto the lawnmower and mowed things right up.
Now, for those of you who
aren't
caught up on this story,
wow.
like Al.
What an Easter.
There was a, she had a lawnmower, had a bag, everything worked, but the bag was older, had holes in it. While you're trying
there's no point to a bag.
Right, exactly.
Because it was blowing grass straight at my face.
So we collaborated together with the eBay and the part numbers and got it, and she ordered it and she put it together.
You're a whiz about those kind of things.
Oh, it's easy. It's so fucking easy to do. The internet is amazing.
Sent the information over, and within minutes,
yeah,
you had the link. I ordered the thing. It came last week at some point. I put it together. Grass has been mowed, and now I'm at the point where I think I have to start watering it so that it greens up a little bit.
I'm still in debate. I actually looked online. Well, the backyard is fine. The backyard will grow easily with just a moderate amount of grass. For some reason, the front yard never has in all the years I've lived here. But so my thought was, okay, all the other neighbors are getting on board with the rocking the front yard. It's, you know, it's environmentally great, blah, 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 blah.
The desert scape.
Sure. So I thought, well, okay, we can go into that. I have not actually investigated pricing for that, but I did, just for giggles. Really, I was serious. I wanted it, but I found out it was more of a laughing matter. I went to the artificial turf sites.
Shit is so expensive.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's like, it'd be like 10 grand to do the front yard.
Yeah.
Like, well, no, that return on investment is really not coming back.
Unless you're going to live here for forever. 1,000 more years.
But God, right. I would have...
Yeah, so, 1,000. It'd take 1,000 years.
So then I looked up green bare outdoor paint. And I thought, well, we'll just mow this short and paint the motherfucker.
They were doing that in California a couple years
ago. They sure as hell were. So, I'm torn. I do...
Yeah, one of those shows, the Love It or Lease It or Leave It or Love It or whatever it is, we're like... They do shit with your house to see if you want to stay or you move somewhere else. I don't get the point of the show. But the one...
Love It or List House, It. Sure. Love It or List It. That's
but
it.
But the one episode, they did something with the people's backyard where they put in the turf mm-hmm. by the pool. And it was very pretty. It was very appropriate. So because they were like, we're not going to put in sprinkler systems this close to your pool and this close to your house. So we're going to lay down this turf. And I thought on HDTV, I'm like... That looks good.
Mm-hmm.
If you sold that to me, I'd mm-hmm. be all on board.
It's 100% beautiful. It really is.
I love it, yeah.
They also didn't give a price, but it fit into whatever the stupid budget was. I can't make it through a whole one of those shows.
Okay.
It's kind of like tiny houses. I want to shoot people in the head.
That's the second gun reference so far this show. I don't know if we're going somewhere with that.
She's just tired.
Well, perhaps a gift will help, because I stopped by for some snacks on my way here, and lo and behold, just something sparked in the back of my memory, and I found corn nuts.
The best.
Look at that.
If they could have put corn nuts on sushi, I would have been all in.
There's no reason not to.
No, there really isn't.
No, that was the only flavor, so hopefully ranch is your
jam.
No,
that's the one.
Is it really?
This one smells good.
Ranch corn, for some reason, I forget the specificity of ranch-flavored corn nuts.
No, and I hate ranch, so this is a really weird thing for me. I do not like ranch dressing. I'm not that white, but this nonsense.
Look at you, pouring them into a bowl, getting ready to go.
Right in the nuts bowl. And it was just because somebody had them at work, and they just smelled so alluring. And, you know, I've eaten corn nuts like 3 times in my whole life prior to the smelling. So then when I've been driving back and forth to LA, and I'm like, you got to have some crunchy junk snack, food for a drive, or why are you driving? So the only thing I wanted was these corn nuts, and all the gas stations had none.
Kind of a like fucked up world is that.
I don't know, but I was in the snack aisle, and I looked at the end cap, and lo and behold,
and they're made out of corn, allegedly.
Now, it seemed to me when I was younger, the only place you could find things like that, now they were packaged differently back in, you know, 30, 40 years ago, but you would find them in a dusty aisle of a little off the main beaten path gas station that's been there since time began.
Where you find true love. I know what you're doing.
Right.
Looking for love in all the wrong places, but I found corn nuts.
Yeah. Apparently you're in love.
Isn't there a lesbian movie that starts like that?
I don't know.
Wasn't she in the gas station dressed like a boy? I don't know.
It sounds like the beginning of an 80s song.
Well, in Heather,
I was working in a gas station.
Corn nuts. What kind? Barbecue.
Wow.
I never heard of corn nuts till Heather's.
Okay.
Cool. And then I only ate them like once or twice. And then the one flavor burned the roof of my mouth off, so I never wanted them again.
Oh, I don't know what flavor that would be. Fire.
There must be a Chipotle one or something.
Oh.
I don't know.
Copy him, corn nuts.
Wow.
After passing what I'm guessing is going to be a memorable stool.
All right.
All right, corn nuts, what have you been up to?
Just working in a fuck ton of TV.
Catching up on TV?
Yeah, just a little bit of like basic tiredness. Like, had done my sister work, LA, back the show, had a day off and watched a little TV, and then worked four or five in a row, and then had like the one day off yesterday, and I was like, so the 2 days I've had off, it was just all spent with me and my couch and a, well, I would say a pizza delivery man, but I went and got it myself. I had a rare moment of frugality, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go drive and get this motherfucker and save $6. It's at the corner. Like, it really right. is stupid, but sometimes you just don't want to put the panties on underneath the shorts.
Oh, well, I found, on your point there, I found out that the exact same pizza that I order from Domino's, that if you order and do delivery and all the other happy horse shit, if I order it online, exact same pizza, and go get it, I save $14.
Yeah, it's a big savings.
Wow. I was like, well, holy shikey.
Oh, my God. And that pretzel crust.
That's a whole
crust,
other pizza.
That totes.
That new pizza crust is crack. Oh, my God. It's a pretzel crust. Did I say pizza crust?
Oh, my God. We've had the pretzel crust.
Pretzel crust. That's thin pretzel crust. So it's like eating it on a little wafer of pretzel. Oh, my God. Delicious. Spinach, tomatoes.
We should do that for next week's production meeting.
And the it's delicious. So then I decided I was going to go to try Nature's Grocery at the corner.
I haven't been there yet.
Because I wanted like something to throw in the crock pot to cook while we were here so I could go home and eat something besides a bowl of nuts. Because I'm usually a little hungry after this.
Yeah. You do work up an appetite doing this.
So it's mostly vitamins in this store and then chicken. I mean, no chicken. They were out of chicken. They were literally... I went for
chicken.
And they had... The chicken delivery didn't show up. So I'm at a grocery store that was sans chicken.
Okay, but they're, you said mostly
sans poivre. Mostly
vitamins? Like I expected there were to be a lot of a lot of produce and fruits and vegetables. That's what I figured would be in there.
None of them are chicken though. So that was kind of funny.
Okay, so wait. I get the no chicken part, but you said it's mostly vitamins.
Oh, no. It's like four aisles of vitamins.
Okay.
Like, seriously, four out of six aisles are vitamins.
But there is and other food in there, right?
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
But the funny part was, and God bless them, they mean well, and I know people that are going to love this store, but there was like this whole refrigerated aisle of food that I'm like, what if I'm not allergic to food? It was dairy-free, gluten-free, this-free, that-free. I'm like... I'm actually tolerant of all these things. Can I just get a fucking loaf of bread and a gallon of milk? They had goat's milk, though, in a gallon. I don't know what the point to that is or what it tastes like, but I like goat cheese. So I was pretty confident that I could probably get down some goat milk. But, like, they had so many varieties of lactose-free milk, which I'm sure there's a market for. But I'm like, I actually had to, like, ask somebody. I'm like, I can tolerate... dairy.
Need full dairy.
I want cheese and I want milk. You're a grocery store. Like, I want the stuff that has the stuff in it. Like, I'm not allergic to any of... I'm suffering from all kinds of allergies, but it's not to dairy or dairy.
Food-borne allergies.
Lactose. Oh, right. My God. But if you want bread that tastes like nothing... And then they have the worst thing in the world. The absolute stupidest thing in the world. And I realize I should eat less bagels. I don't keep bagels.
Good God, why?
I do not keep bagels in the house.
That statement.
Bagels are an out of the house experience. Okay. Like, I can only eat because I will eat every bagel in sight. So I do not keep bagels in my house.
We're talking about control issues.
I do not let bagels near me.
I had someone recommend that I change gyms based on free bagels.
Yeah, exactly. And you should, because bagels are delicious. They're the greatest food imaginable.
We're coming back to you in a minute.
But the worst thing that's ever been in my mouth, people, food, whatever, is gluten-free bagels. That makes me want to take this coffee cup and bash somebody over the head with it.
Can we talk about the violent tendencies?
A lot of anger today.
But what kind of wine did you have that made you angry?
It's a delightful angry. Until you hand me a gluten-free bagel, and then we're going to have to
Why couldn't you be stoned right now? Couldn't that help a lot of things?
Yeah, it would. But I got to tell you, though. I had a gluten-free bagel once, and I almost slapped somebody. Because they were trying to sell that to me like fat-free mayonnaise. I'm like, listen, cunt.
Yes.
Here's things that don't happen. Mayonnaise needs fat.
No.
And this bagel needs gluten put back in it stat.
I need. And those two that mayonnaise that go together.
I need a gluten injection.
And if you
want to
put that good mayonnaise on that good bagel, we're going to have a party.
Ramalama lama ding da ding da dong. Sure.
But So I don't know. I was at the bagel section and I was just trying to figure out, like, I feel like I was playing bingo. Like, what am I allergic to in this aisle? And I read the bagel container and I never found, like, the bag of bagels. Like, I never found
what it was missing.
What it was missing. But trust no one there.
The gluten.
No, it didn't say gluten-free, but it was right next to all the gluten-free breads.
It was gluten
breads, and it was refrigerated, adjacent. So I was worried I had to go home and
boil it.
Yeah, like, what do I have to, like, why is the bread in the, and then there was a non-refrigerated bread section, which had one that was like bread, sweetened only by fruit juice. What the fuck are you putting sweet fruit juice in my bread for?
Oh, I could see that being kind of good. You know, I've considered...
But in lieu of what? Is there sugar in bread?
There is sugar in bread. Well, because the yeast has to have something to eat.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, so it's not like you're pouring in a cup of sugar.
No. It's like the recipe I use is about a tablespoon of sugar per loaf of bread. So it's a little
Does that help the medicine go down, that tablespoon?
It does. The tablespoon of sugar helps.
Now that makes sense, because the yeast does need something to eat, so it gets bigger and rises.
Right, so it grows and creates the air and the stretches the gluten strands.
Back
There's all the
you.
Science. But you can replace that, like, white granulated sugar with just about anything in the world that's also sweet and contains sugar.
Fructose.
Right. I've very seriously considered and need to just do it because I know it would work, replacing sugar for honey.
Yeah, sounds delicious.
Would
and then you call it
fine.
Honey bread. Honey bread!
Right, and it's going to taste even better.
Honey bread, I don't know what that was, but you kind of made a song.
Yeah, and just imagine, like, delicious homemade bread with a little hint of honey.
Yeah, sure. I'm on board.
Just gets better.
Well, it's not bad with honey.
Well, it's not bad. Honey bread. You could be the drummer.
We'll just drop it and just call it bread. We'll be fine. Let's go.
It was just so funny to figure out what I'm like. I wanted to be like, should I put on a name tag so I can go down the right aisle to make sure I'm not in the, you know, I'm not allergic to anything here?
Go ahead.
Hi, my
ask.
Name is Al and I love food. What aisle should I
Yeah,
be in?
Exactly. And I eat everything. Olives excluded.
I think you should go, okay, just tell me you're allergic to olives. I'm sure there's an aisle for it.
Oh, yeah.
Go down that aisle. Okay, let's go back to Kat Carlson for just a second.
Bring it on.
You touched on you were being asked to leave a gym because of free bagels?
Allegedly. And I can look on my Facebook and find out which one. Allegedly, there's another gym in town that once a month offers free pizza. And on a different day of the month, not the same day of the month, but on a different day of the month, offers free coffee and bagels. To which I replied, A, the gym that I sign up for is the closest one to my house because if it's too far away, I won't fucking go.
True. I getcha.
And two, I do not have a shortage of pizza or bagels in my life. Hence the gym membership.
Yeah.
You don't get to be a fat girl without pizza and bagels. Yeah. These things, they go together.
I can attest.
And like, for bagels now have to be a treat. Like, it's a rare thing that I can't keep them in the house. Because if I buy six bagels, then I eat six bagels. Like, there's no, because I'll just be, like, sitting around going, there's a bagel in the fridge.
Oh, well, I've done the same thing when it comes to, I bought that fucking new toaster that makes glorious toast. Oh, dear God. I just know, if I know there's a slice of bread in this house, it has to be toasted. And I have to eat it. Like, that's just... And I go back to, you used to live on coffee and toast. I'm like, well, I can't do this.
I had to lie about my consumption of dinner rolls the other day. Because I made homemade rolls for Easter. And they were delicious. And we sent some home with Sharon's mom because she was over for Easter. And we saved some. And there were not quite a dozen left. And so, like, the very next morning... Sharon, or maybe it was the next night, but Sharon's in the kitchen, like, making some food, and she looks and she goes, is that all the rolls that are left? And I had to blame the children. I was like, well, not that I ate six of them today, but the kids had some for breakfast.
They are delicious.
And I'm eating one right now. So
I get what you're
That's literally what happened.
Scooby-Dooing your way through that answer.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? If you're the right amount of buzzed and someone presents a Hawaiian roll with real butter, gently warmed. End of me. I'll be like, oh, you made steak? I didn't even see it.
Hawaiian bread, and here we go.
I will swear to you I'm a Native Islander. As I shovel that shit in my mouth.
Bruno Mars, my brother.
As
long as you don't eat that nasty poi.
We're the same.
I've not had poi. I've never had poi.
I don't like it.
To me, poi it seems like it would be applesauce you with your pinky. And that's for some reason what I think poi is. Maybe I'm wrong.
No.
I think you're wrong. I don't know what.
Well, I don't know what poi is made out of.
Fish?
I want to start eating applesauce with my pinky. Though.
Yeah, like,
well, no, but every time I've ever seen poi, it seems like it's in a bowl and it looks like applesauce.
It's like pudding-ish. It's mushy. I don't know what it's made out of.
I'm not entirely wrong like on it. My no, assessment of poi. It wasn't applesauce and pork chops from Brady Bunch, for God's sakes.
Jenny, I want to answer your perfect bagel question by saying both.
Oh, see, I can't do. I don't enjoy the both
butter and then the cream cheese.
And in New York, I always have to tell them I want.
Yeah, Cal, you're a bitch, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, I when I'm in New York in New York City, and I have to tell them like keep the butter to yourself. In this one instance, I love your butter. I'm not allergic. I am in no way casting doubts on your butter's ability to make people happy. But on the bagel, it's just cream cheese. I don't like butter and cream cheese, and I don't like just butter on a bagel. That to me is like, why did I have a bagel?
It's a sad bagel, right?
Yeah, it really is. I feel like we've lost out on 70 grams of fat that were going to be in my mouth.
Oh, sad. Don't lose those.
Yeah.
You need those.
Winter's
those
coming.
Grams.
Exactly. We're bulking up for winter.
Yeah. I'm caftan ready.
Ooh, speaking of caftan, now Marnie seemed to sign up on this. I think we all need to go find our own.
Are we having a caftan party?
I want to have a caftan show. I think we should have a caftan show.
I'm
prepared.
I think it'd be fantastic.
All right.
And fortunately, because of the way caftans are made, you can drape it over your lovely...
One size fits all.
Whatever outfit you've got.
Most.
One size fits most.
That's fair. Settle down.
You know you're fat if the crotch in your caftan is tight.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not there.
No, but I think we should all figure... And I'm not sure what day we should set for this, but I think we should all find a caftan...
I think a Tuesday would do.
Well, no, I... Preferably while we're on the air.
Yeah.
During one of the live shows. Let's do it.
Oh, that'd be
during
nice.
One of the live shows.
Why don't we do
this is live.
But we all could find our own suitable caftan. I think it'd be a lovely show to have.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Because we're going into summer and people like a breezy, sort of a lounging outfit. I think would be
I do like a hostess pants.
Sure. Of course you do.
Mrs. McKee, what'd you do?
Well, it's been a busy,
I'm
busy
sorry,
day.
Miss. I spoke to your lawyer. Sorry.
Well.
Been busy, have you?
Well, of course I have. Watering plants, figuring out what color they are when they bloom. It's all kinds of excitement.
I saw that. The
now, do you guess?
Well, I bought one and I didn't know what color it was going to be, but it was a good deal. I'm like, fuck, it's going to be a hibiscus. What do I care? Turns out, gorgeous yellow. It's a beautiful, so I have two pinks, two reds, and a beautiful yellow. Makes the border of my porch just an extravaganza of hibiscus love.
Okay.
So anyway, so there's that.
I'm going to Google hibiscus.
Well, I have a picture. Would you like a picture? Yeah. I don't have a picture to show you on this, but it's a beautiful thing.
That's what Google's for.
He's got the Google.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
Get him. So the other thing was, how many have you out there? Here, Alfie. There, that's one of my blooms.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
They seem to all come in pretty colors.
Oh, they're all kinds.
I mean, it's funny because I get hibiscus soap all this stuff.
Yeah,
all the time.
They
have some coffee there, Al.
Yeah, please enjoy the coffee, fresh brewed from our bun coffee maker. Oh, which I just wrote a review on both things. Okay, so let me just back up. I get emails from Amazon. Amazon sends me emails about shit, you know, because they want you to review stuff.
They send
not
to me
enough,
all the fucking time.
Not enough people apparently review products.
Because so, I am using and abusing that Amazon card
so
every chance I get.
In the email that I got just today for reviews, one was for the peppermint plants that I bought that never bloomed, never did anything. So my one star and said in the description, never bloomed, should have bought local, whatever, send. The other one was, they wanted me to review trash bags. And my text for that was, not much to review here. They're trash bags, period. They hold trash. Works pretty good.
Yeah.
That was my review for this.
Trash not in my house.
Right. Seems to hold it together.
Trash transport from point A to point B.
Right.
And then, what happens after point B is not our fault.
Not our fault. Oh, that was another thing. Oh, my God. You're reminding me of so many things that caused frustration this week.
Oh, my gosh. Get it all off your chest.
Do you remember a time, and this was a Facebook post of mine, do you remember a time, and if you live in a residential area where...
we fell in love, do you, thank you remember the time?
Thank you.
Oh, I'm on
Michael
videos.
Jackson video. Very nice. Do you remember back when crackheads didn't go through the alleys and dig through your trash and spread it all over the place? That was the question
those
I was
were
posing.
The days.
Oh my God, it's been a long time since that happened.
What?
Are you telling, you just never go in your alley except to put one trash in. But you can't tell me in your neighborhood that you don't have, through the middle of the night, crackheads go through and dig through your trash to find whatever they're looking for and then wind up spreading shit all over the place.
Anything they can sell. That's a little not scrap my business. Of copper, a little, she wouldn't know.
It's like telling me there's a squirrel in my yard. Okay. Well, okay. So now what?
Anywho. No, it's frustrating. When you go, when I take one of these high-quality trash bags that I have, and I go and put it in the trash can, and then I find out all the shit that's laying in the alley, I'm like, well, I recognize because it's my trash. Because some asshole...
How often do you go visit your garbage can?
Every time I take one of those highly high-quality trash bags that are full out.
I take my garbage out like once every 2 weeks.
I don't know what I produce a lot more garbage, and I'm just one single person. Once a week, I round up everything to make sure we just ship it out to the big bin in the alley.
Yeah, every 2 weeks I go out there, I'm pretty much holding my breath and closing my eyes. I don't want to see that.
I look around. I check to see. Because, you know, by law,
to meet people there.
Your obligation is to keep your alley to the center point of that alley clean.
I did not sign that.
That's part of the law.
No, I did not agree to that.
You have no choice.
You bought your house.
Bought your house. That's part of it. Yeah, so anywho, I look around.
I'm a conscious objector.
It's called being a citizen.
I look around and I see what's here and there and I pick up stuff. Even just because I didn't put it there doesn't mean I can't pick up a piece of trash or something. I try to keep the area clean.
I do that in the front yards.
And we were thankful for you. All the people with car alarms across the street are thankful for
that. I'm not doing shit in that alley.
You're part of the problem.
That's like going to Vietnam.
So anyway, I said, they have beautiful waterfalls, by the way. I just saw them online. But so anyway, I sent a post.
Hey, if Trump can call, what did he call it? What did he call his Vietnam? Divorce? He had a stupid thing that he called Trump's Vietnam. STDs? I can call it my back alley.
That's fair.
I have no idea what you were talking about. So anyway, I sent an email out to the neighborhood, that app that we're on for the website about that, and people are all on board. They want to get together and do a alley cleanup. So getting ready to ramrod that son of a bitch through the whole thing. So there's that bitch about alleys being dirty.
Look at you. You're like a community you're basically Barack Obama right now.
I'm sure. Well, somebody has to do it because he's...
So somebody's going to knock at my door and tell me I have to hang out my alley for some period of time?
No.
And work.
As a property owner, it is part of your obligation.
I signed that.
Regardless of whether you signed it or not, that is...
Send your lawn human out.
I will send you the link to the city's website that tells you that.
So I can pay somebody to do this, right?
Absolutely.
I'm not going out there.
It's just your responsibility as a property owner to keep your half of the alley behind your house, just the width of your property, halfway to the center point, mowed down, clean of debris, all that. You have to keep it clean. That's the rule.
And I feel like everybody but me knows this. Is that true?
No. Everybody knows that. Yeah. So anywho, that's one of the things. The other thing was, had a friend who had a birthday this past week, and... they don't always embrace their birthdays as well as other people do. So I was like, all right, do you want to have a party? He's like, nope, don't want to have a party. We're good. I said, do you want to go to dinner? No, fine, whatever. Well, during the day of Friday, which was his birthday, my doorbell rang. Now, my phone rang, and I was in the shower, and I ignored it. So I just get out of the shower.
Like you do.
I get out of the shower, and then my doorbell rings. And I'm like, well, who the fuck is at my door? So I'm like, all right. So I go to the door. Thinking it might be a shipment of something, who knows?
You didn't just look in your app?
Yeah, I was just going to say
that. No, I didn't. I was wet. I'm not going to grab my phone. There's that. So I just ran to the door.
So you ran to the door naked instead of wetting your phone.
I was wrapped. I was wrapped, and I was behind said door.
Caftan and muumuu in hand.
There you go.
There you go.
So anyway, the guy's holding a plant, a big, tall plant with a card, and I'm like, he's like, I have a delivery for Matt Little. I'm like, well, Matt is down the street. I said, and he goes, yes, because I already talked to Matt. Matt has rerouted the delivery here because he's not home. I'm like, all right. Set it down. I'll get it. I got the plant, yada, yada, yada. Day goes by. I realize Matt's home. I take the plant down. I set it on his front porch. And I text him, your plant delivery is now on your front porch. Within minutes, like not even 2 minutes had passed, and he sends me a text back. Your delivery is in your carport. It's got glass and it's kind of heavy. Be careful. And I'm like, you fucker. You didn't even take the goddamn birthday card off the plant. You just brought me the plant back. So I didn't even go to my carport. I just texted back, God, I hope you at least had the decency to take the card off of it. And he replied back, nope, mystery gift from some secret lover or some bullshit, he said, whatever. So I'm like, okay, thinking that this is a plant. Now, here's where I get to the point where, have you ever been given a gift from somebody and you're like, the fuck you think you are giving me this?
Sure.
So I go out there and it's not the plant. It is a square box that's about a foot or so completely square, and it is heavy as lead. It's just a fucking heavy box for its size.
Brand new set of Pyrex.
No.
Good guess. Good guess.
Flat box. But anyway, well, got that. All right, all right. So anywho.
Cast
so,
iron skillet.
So I get the box, and I was getting ready to go to work at Stacy's for Drag Race.
Oh, sure.
So I just saw the model number of the whatever the hell it was inside the box. I just Googled it right quick, and it just said some blah, blah, whatever scale. And I'm like, I responded back, you fucker. You sent me a scale. Well, why wasn't there a cardiologist sitting next to the fucking box? And he let it go, didn't respond back to me. So the next day, I finally opened the thing. And I'm like, what? I don't understand. You turned 40 and I got a scale. How does this work out? I don't understand. Well, as luck would have it, he ordered several scales, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, because a friend of ours had a heart blockage issue, and that got resolved, and he was being conscious and very nice and generous to everybody, thinking of health for all of his friends. So we gave these scales that are smart scales. It's attached to your phone. It measures heart rate, BMI, all that other stuff, and then reminds you, like, you're part of how many steps a day you need to walk and all that kind of stuff. So it kind of reminds you to get off your ass, go do something, go walk, go whatever, yada, yada, yada. So it was one of those things where at first I'm like, well, you're an asshole for giving me a scale. And then I realized, oh, it's really nice of you to give me this nice scale that actually helps me to better myself.
Yeah, that's what was missing. No one ever told me to stand up and move before. Well, that was the message I needed. My God, I should stand up?
Hey, right. Fatty, get off the couch.
So I thought this was all well and good until today.
Every time.
The level of going to my back alley and making friends.
3 or 4 days later, I get the email because, you know, you weigh in every day and then it starts to chart your weight and it does your heart rate and all this other kind of happy shit, yada, yada, yada. Well, today it started sending me the emails about suggestions of foods. And I'm like, and we're unsubscribing.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, no. You can tell me to get up and go walk. I'm fine with that. But I don't, now your barrage of this email is sponsored by whoever food or whatever bullshit. Nope, we're done. I don't care. So I had my lovely, I did have a salad for lunch today, but had nothing to do with the app or that thing. But it was just funny that at first my initial reaction was, you asshole, giving me a fucking scale.
What kind of friends do you have?
And seriously, I thought, well, why didn't you just send a goddamn cardiologist along with it just to monitor me? And then I realized it was really a genuinely nice gift he gave to several people who he was concerned about their well-being. Oh, so there's that.
It's an exciting week.
Wow.
A lot packed in there.
I tried to get a lot done. I went, I've become a Costco member again today. That was exciting.
Oh, congratulations.
Went back to that.
So they can buy more mayonnaise.
Sure. I'm looking for special mayonnaise for you.
Mayonnaise and hand lotion. That's what you can get in bulk there.
And peanut butter.
Enjoy your evenings alone with
double packs of peanut butter.
Luffer Nutter and a little lotion.
You can also buy wine there, Alan. Bread. They have fresh bread.
I can't afford to save that much money. I say that all the time about Costco.
It's a $100 store. I always call it the $100 store. Yeah. You're not coming out of there without a C note, dropping a C note on something.
I know, and it's for what? The only times I get agita in those kind of places, like, I like the single girl Safeway. There's too much shit going on. I don't need to buy my grapes in the same place where they're selling gas grills. Like, that's too much. Settle the fuck down.
I can get a gas grill. I can get grapes. I can get a pair of jeans, some reasonably priced flip-flops.
Right.
And a handle of Crown Royal all under one roof.
And a box set of Adam Sandler's greatest movies, which is ironically titled because they don't have
it. And a pack of toilet paper big enough to last a year.
Yeah. And I can't afford that. Like, it's just too much. Like, I need one. Like, it's kind of like that stupid dollar shave club that's only used by people that don't shave. They don't work, and they're like 6 months a month.
They don't work.
No, I have to get out and shave with something else afterwards. I've never, like today, I had to shave everything again because I have the one that's supposed to be the specialty one, but everybody that uses it doesn't shave.
Okay, I just started growing this back 2 weeks ago.
I know, but everybody has like a goatee and facial hair. And
that doesn't mean we don't shave.
Stubble.
We just don't shave all of it.
Right. But so the people that do shave all of it, they're terrible razors. Like,
I have never ever thought they were terrible. I've got the 2-blade and the 4. I think they're fantastic.
I have the 4-blade.
It works just fine on the 3 hairs on my chin.
Yeah, I always have to reshave again. Like, that's another one. It's like, I'm not saving any money because I still have to buy disposable razors and shave again every time. I'm breaking up with those people, too.
Wow.
Everyone's on the chopping block.
I know. Everybody's getting the people in the alley, dead to me. I never go back there, though. And then the lawn human yelled at me because I had him, like, clipper down the grass. And he's like, you got to tell me about this more often. I'm like, did you not? There's an alley back there. Check it once in a while. Like, I pay you.
You should probably like tell
if,
him about
if
it.
If there's some schedule you need to be on, I don't know. Grass grows.
If there's a schedule. What do you got him on? Every 2 weeks? Week? What is it?
Yeah, so go
I hope
yourself.
You tip him well.
Yeah. Do you tip him at all? Once a year. He does it once a year like the doorman.
Tip,
at the,
sure.
Yeah.
That's just fair.
I tip him when I want him to do something extra.
It's nice.
Not all the way over, just a little bit.
Yeah. You just push. But he is going to start taking care of my neighbor's yard.
Which side of you? To the west or to the east?
The ones that don't take care of the yard.
The west. Got it. Yeah, that's a good idea.
So it was kind of funny. So today he wanted to do something extra, but I had to go out there in the Ebola zone while he had the blower on. And I'm like, I can't breathe out here. Like, you got to, like, this can't go on. We got to do the boy in the plastic bubble, and I'll just hand it to you through the sealed envelope.
another shitty movie. God damn. Okay, well, that was exciting. I think we're going to have more bitching going on for the rest of the show. We'll figure that out. We're coming back with...
Turns out the production meeting makes us angry.
The drinking disclaimer is coming up in seconds, and we'll see how bitter Al is and what word he gives us.
I'm on the board of directors of this lousy company.
You're listening to Hugh Talk America.
If you think it sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
Well, the squirrels are back in the attic. Your dad won't call an exterminator. He says it's personal this time. Where are you? It's very loud there. Are you taking a Zumba class?
This is the Hugh Talk America Radio Network. And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but... If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
All right, I've been listening to this stand-up all day today, and you got to go, Dorothy Rose Blanche Sophia.
Dorothy Rose Blanche Sophia.
There's a church I could go to.
Oh, the Church of the Golden Girl.
In honor of Easter.
That seems legit.
And Dorothy has to go high because she's the taller one. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I get it.
It does help.
Sure, it does. All right, here we go. Get ready. Hold on to your hat and wig. Here we go. Exciting things, headlines that may or may not be able to fit into this show at this time on this day.
Wow.
A lot going on. Oh, a little girl insists on a poop-themed party.
Go
ahead.
Two pirates rescued when homemade ship sinks on Utah Lake.
Coachella odd travel partner request.
April the giraffe finally shoots one out.
God damn. Packers tattoo gets people upset.
Bewildered beaver becomes accidental leader of 150 curious cows.
And the Nugget Kid gets Ellen on board. Kinda. All this excitement coming your way. Aren't you happy? My favorite part is about that is your headlines were so fucking long. Yeah. It just made me laugh.
And they're all animal related.
Yeah. But that goddamn giraffe, I'm so glad that's over. Criminy. I always thought, just let her go walk around. She'll shit that thing out. But they just kept her in that little four-bay cubicle.
That's not how that works.
My mom was mowing the yard the day before I was born. What the hell? Just walk around.
So you were born in a lawnmower, raised in a radio. I see.
Something like that. Well, this little girl may be only 3 years old, but she's really quite the character. And now little Audrey is capturing the national spotlight with her unique choice of a birthday party theme. And that theme is poop. 3-year-old Audrey, all dressed up and excited for her birthday party. Quote, for months, anytime we would talk to her about her party, she said, I want poop balloons and a poop cake. Audrey's mother.
I'm worried about the pink poop balloons, though. She might want to get some kind of a colonoscopy.
Audrey's mother, Rebecca, told CBS News this. Audrey's parents tried suggesting a princess theme. They tried suggesting Daniel Tiger, which is the little girl's favorite TV show. But every time they brought it up, little Aubrey was unflinching in her resolve for a theme that she wanted. And that theme, again, is poop.
Oh, my God.
We tried to suggest other ideas, but every time we asked her, it was always poop, Rebecca recalls. So after much consideration, she and her husband decided to just roll with it. They went out and bought poop balloons, poop pinata filled with Tootsie Rolls and Hershey's Kisses. They even purchased whoopee cushions to hand out as party favors.
Oh, that's fun.
Now, quote, I thought that the grandparents might question it, Rebecca said, but they were totally on board. All of our family and friends were. It makes me grateful that we're surrounded by such supportive people, and most importantly, Audrey loved it. It was Audrey's party, so she wanted to be something that she would love, Rebecca explained. I love that we'll look back at pictures that will represent our quirky little 3-year-old. The internet seems to love it too. As many as the stories continue, it gains traction on social media. There are those, of course, who are the naysayers who say you shouldn't. However, countless people worldwide are applauding her family for embracing her originality and the traits of Rebecca and that her daughter exhibits in other facets of life as well. She said, I just love how confident she is. She's always just herself. And when she's older, she'll have plenty of people trying to tell her that it was cool and she's not weird.
No, I think that's going to go the other way. To be, Mom, please, please, please,
please
ever bring a guy
stop
over.
Do talking not, about that. Right.
Don't show the poop party pictures again.
She's going to be a strong individual.
And I love, like, what would the naysayers have to say? Like, shut the fuck up.
First of all, that animated little pile of shit looks really happy.
Delightful.
Second of all, she's got a lifetime full of people telling her that she can't. Her parents should have said yes at whatever her fucking birthday party issue is.
Absolutely.
And people that have something negative to say about a parent theme, like, shut up. Like, shut up.
I mean, I'm sure we've all had an odd themed party here or there that other people might have questioned.
I mean.
I was looking at you when I said that, so I thought maybe Kat would have some fun story.
There was an unexplained rocket ship on one of my cakes once, and I still to this day am like, really?
How old were you?
12.
Okay, and a rocket
and
ship.
And I don't know if I like suddenly had a fascination with all things phallic or if someone thought I liked rocket ships, but it was...
Once in a while,
I see the picture, and I'm like, and it's not like there was a space theme. There was just
a ship,
a rocket on the cake that was like, okay, all
right.
Were you listening to? Well, I mean, timing would have been it. Was it Herbie Hancock? Little rocket.
Oh no, that's years later.
Well, I never know with you. You know, yeah, you did a lot of crazy shit in your basement.
It's one of those things that I'm like, was this a theme? It could be that I had something that I don't remember liking. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I was suddenly fascinated by rockets. I find that hard to believe. But
Or sadly, somebody just went and said, "Hey, I need a birthday cake for a 12-year-old boy," and they're like, "Well, here."
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
it'll make Donna summer cakes. How about a rocket?
We're all out of MacArthur Park sweet cakes.
Exactly. Is he willing to put his face in it and sleep for a while? How far is he willing to go into this metaphor?
You can leave it in the rain. Oh, he already has the cotton dress. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I also never did birthday parties. You know what I mean? I never did birthday parties. Like, we would, on Mother's Day, because my birthday, we would just celebrate it on the Sunday near my birthday, which is always Mother's Day. We would have, like, a cake for me, a cake for my mom, and, like, my grandparents over and like one friend, like
yeah, this whole thing.
I was the third kid, so like there was no.
He'll be fine.
Birthday, you know what I mean? And no one, like there was never anything in school for birthdays. Like I've never understood people that make something out of their birthday because it just never happened. Like,
well, I'm even
so
the
this year I'm doing something, but it was kind of like to make up for the fact that I'm not inviting some people to one half of it. So I'm like,
You heard it here
first. Honestly, as a kid, I just like we just never had a birthday party. Like it just never. People just came over. My grandparents sang happy birthday. We had a cake that said happy Mother's Day. When it said happy birthday, we just moved on with our business.
Each of them. Sure. Ruth Yor opened a bottle of gin. He opened a bottle of vodka. And yeah, everybody moved on.
Everybody was well, and even, you know, I'm younger and even we didn't like this whole. Because Sharon has this obsession with the kids and their birthday party. And I just keep rolling my eyes going, what the fuck do they need that for?
Yeah.
That's $300 out of my pocket. What the fuck are we doing with this? I'm so Scroogey at home. It's so terrible. But no, because it's got to be this theme, and it's got to be at one of these stupid bounce house places, and it's got to be. And I'm like, seriously, every birthday that I've had with my family has been just that. Like my grandparents would come over, and somebody would make a cake, and they would sing happy birthday, and the end.
And I don't remember anybody in school ever doing something for someone's birthday. Like I don't remember.
Mom used to make something for us to take in. Like, my mom used to bake, and we would take, like, cookies or something.
I just pictured, what's her name, from the middle going, wrong family. Like, I never remember going to school and, like, anybody, like
having
like,
a big hoopla. Having,
for anybody's birthday. I don't know if there was just too many kids in our class, or, like, we can't do that every fucking day.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, and I don't remember a big thing either. I remember we used to take something in, but it would be, like, at snack time.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, snack time. Today it's Kathy's birthday. Her mom's sending cookies. Happy birthday. Goodbye.
And a lot of my friends are like third, fourth, or fifth children, so maybe it's just the pack that I ran with that the parents just forgot, just stopped acknowledging.
No, I mean, I'm an oldest, so.
Oh, well, that's a whole different animal then.
Well, the other thing would be nowadays, I mean, we're not talking about nowadays, but I would think in your situation with the kids, for crying out loud, you can't send anything to school because every fucking person's allergic to something.
Well,
and, oh my God, did the cookies come anywhere near nuts? Was somebody who ever ate a nut making them? Like, there's all kinds of shit.
And that actually appears to be getting better as the children get older. Like in kindergarten, you can't send a peanut to save your life anywhere near the fucking school. But
by the time they're juniors and seniors,
now the kids are a little older, and we're approaching like a middle school age soon. And it
doesn't
matter.
Well, kids start to be aware, too, of what they can and can't eat. There's not the impulse. Mm. I think there's a little bit more impulse control of like, oh, that's not good for me. I probably shouldn't eat that.
Yeah.
You know, they'll like at a certain age, people start asking like, you know, I kind of die with peanuts.
I really don't like how that feels when we have to go to the ER because I came in contact with peanut butter. What's in that?
When my tongue gets bigger than my head, I tend Nobody to say likes no. That. And then you have people that just don't eat. You notice people with food allergies that just don't eat anything. Like whenever a potluck is served, the people with food allergies always seem to like have a little lane that they stay in. Like
they're over there eating the celery.
Right, exactly. Oh my God, right out of my mouth. They're the ones that seem to enjoy the vegetable plate that got given because they have food allergies, so they don't even risk it. And you always feel bad, but then you're like, well, thank God somebody brought that stupid ass fucking vegetable tray in because they're happy.
I love a vegetable.
They went to the natural grocers and got it.
No chicken. No,
absolutely not. None.
But they were, and I gotta say, they were lovely people and very helpful. And if I decide to take every vitamin in the world, I know where to get them.
Oh, that's good.
And if I develop a food allergy to, I'm thinking, almost anything, there is a grocery store with me in mind.
They've got a substitute for you.
As long as it stays open long enough for you to get to that point. Our next story comes to us from Al Perkins, boys and girls.
All right, so we'll start with the bewildered beaver.
I wish there were pictures.
No, I wish I could remember their names faster. Well, I will, but yeah, Dorothy, Blanche, Rose, Sophia.
God, it's only an hour
in. A perplexed beaver.
Thank you for being a friend.
Who accidentally herded 150 of cattle across a farm in Canada last week has become an online sensation. How do you move 150 heifers in Canada? I think that's a personal question. He filmed the unusual counter in Saskatchewan in a Facebook post that's attracted 100,000 views. He just needs a better trained beaver, which I think we all do. Young cows are curious, kind of like teenagers. This video shows the cows carefully following the beaver. When the rodent moves, they move with it. And when it stops, they stop too, gathering around but also keeping a respectful distance. There was about a 3-foot space around him, Ivy, the rancher, told the CBC. She told the broadcaster that the beaver was likely out looking for a new place to build a lodge when it came across the cows. When we first saw that, we knew would people get a great chuckle out of it because you can't get more Canadian than that. But what about how awesome our Canadian beef is? But a beaver leading cattle around, it's the most Canadian thing ever. And it really is kind of funny, because you can't tell if the beaver's trying to run away from them or, like, just get out of this horrible situation it's found itself on, but the cows just keep coming. And if you're a little bit buzzed, it's really fucking funny. Like,
cows are ridiculous. And
oh, so curious.
Yeah, kind of hilarious sometimes. And dumb. Like, if you're ever thinking, gosh, I wonder what the dumbest animal in the world
cows
is,
are
it's a fucking cow.
Right up there.
Heifer. Yeah. So I just happened to stumble across that video, and then when you said that, when you were short of news stories, I'm like, hold on a minute.
Because
last night I got a couple of good laughs out of that beaver.
Gloria, I'm going to have to call you back. We got cows.
I'm going to have to cut the jungle. Get right back to you.
It's the best movie ever.
Go ahead. You had something you were going to share?
I sure didn't.
I thought for sure you didn't.
I sure didn't.
I was talking about how dumb the cows were. I made the fun Twister reference.
I thought you had jumped in
there. That I always make whenever somebody says a cow.
I thought you had jumped in there with something.
I think that prayer should end with thank you for being a friend.
Well, I'm sure we all have heard, and I'm glad it's over because I'm tired of hearing about everybody talking about, oh, we're going, and now I'm going to have to hear for the next several weeks, oh, we went. Coachella is over and done. The weekend has passed. We're done with it.
I thought there were two weekends.
If there is, I have another fucking
reason. I think there's a round two.
Thousands of people across the internet are cringing today as a viral Craigslist ad from Gordon, a 56-year-old divorcee who wants a young woman to go to Coachella with him and fulfill all of his, I'm going to guess, quasi-sexual, extremely specific desires. The post, which has been deleted since this was published, was shared on the Los Angeles message board. And if this seems normal to you at first, I want you to keep reading. Well, first of all, here's the ad. Coachella VIP weekend, one pass, free to the right person for $1. And look at that bitchin' vintage old camper this guy's got.
I am so on board with going anywhere in that.
Look at that.
My God, I grew up in one of
those. This vintage old camper. I just thought it was a cool old...
But I went above the cab sleeping.
I just think
that's fucking fancy.
We had one of those as a kid.
All right. Well, now they're all.
This always seems to be where the parents want to sleep.
These are delicious.
Yeah.
Now they're on board with this. Let me read you the ad. Coachella VIP weekend, one pass, free for the right person. Okay, here's the deal. I have a VIP pass for weekend two. So apparently you are correct.
Uh-huh.
Weekend two is coming up. Shit. I'm willing to give it away for free to the right person. I'm looking for a travel companion, that's in quotes, that can enjoy the festival with me. And just have a great time. I left my job as a supervising manager at a soup plantation and subsequently divorced my wife of 11 years. I cashed out my 401k and decided that moving forward, my life is going to be all about having fun. No more team meetings, no more employee evaluations, no more balance sheets, no more darn conference calls at 7 a.m.
Those darn conference calls.
Just fun, he says. I have a room at the Tropics Motor Motel in Indio.
Fuck yeah.
Thursday through Monday.
Fancy.
And if you believe you can meet the below criteria, please shoot me an email and describe why you think you make the best fit.
Dorothy Blantros and Sophia, I hope you fit.
Thank you for being
I appreciate
a friend.
Your time and look forward to finding the right one. Here are the list of requirements. Oh my God.
I'm so nervous. God, I hope I make it.
I'm going to write this down like it's a Cosmo quiz.
Number one, must be female between ages of 19 and 25. Kat, you're already out.
Oh, I'm in.
That was good.
Still in the running.
Female, 19 to 25.
Number two, must be comfortable traveling in a recreational vehicle. The vintage Shasta Chinook 3100 is pictured and attached.
I feel like that's racist.
That would be, no.
I don't think you should call somebody a Shasta Chinook.
No, that's what that is.
That's what they called the motorhome, honey.
See, it says right there above the windshield, it says Shasta.
Yeah, must have trained beaver.
Right. Well,
the Shasta Chinook.
That's coming up.
That's a pretty good drag name.
Must have a fashionable sense of style in the vein of typical Coachella goer, i.e., cute Indian headband, small ripped jean shorts, lots of colorful bracelets, etc.
Can I wear my Kat Carlson Memorial VIP Lounge t-shirt?
I'll allow it.
All right. It's not colorful enough.
Kat, yes. I have a yellow one.
Number four, preferably have a playlist of various Coachella artists on phone that we can listen to on the ride over.
No, I have a Spotify subscription. Nope, I'm there.
Must keep hands and feet moisturized at all times.
I'm back in.
I'm going to put Al for that one.
Yeah.
Must be open-minded and opportunistic.
Like an infection?
Doesn't say. He just that's.
I'm going to give that one to you.
Number seven, must be okay with periodic hand-holding, perhaps during certain sensual songs and while walking into the festival initially.
Do you know I hold people's hands all the time? That's how I put them on hold in person. Like if I'm talking to you and I want to talk to him, I hold their hand.
Oh.
Yeah. If I don't want you to leave.
Because I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you.
I still want
to
talk to you. I'm going to hold your hand.
So we're going to give that one to Kat. That was me. I'm going to need the exact time period that you expect to hold my hand.
But there's more coming up, trust me. Number eight, fingernails and toenails must be nicely painted and harmonious with general color scheme of outfit.
Yeah, blank.
Okay.
They match my khaki shorts.
Number nine.
They go with everything from blue jeans to a high heel.
Number nine, he says, I will provide snacks such as beef jerky and peanut butter sandwiches, but if you have additional snacks and or drinks, that's a big bonus.
Oh.
He had me a PB&J.
Yeah.
I'm in.
All right.
Shasta Chinook and I are going to enjoy a PB&J.
Number 10. Number 10, being...
For just a moment, now, as we enter the festival.
I think this is where Al's going to choke... Because of this
don't
one.
Don't die.
Being social is fine, but no excessive fraternizing with other male festival goers, and most definitely no public affection with other festival
goers.
Ooh,
that's a 50-50.
Yeah, now violation of this rule results in immediate removal of Tropic Motor motel room privileges and maybe even the return ride. If you can calm your PDA.
Honestly, that seems fair. We've shared romantic music.
We've held hands.
A Shasta Chinook, and we've held hands. If I'm going to go make out with some guy, I feel like I deserve to be left.
Some guy.
Right.
My other thought is, what if I didn't enjoy it, and some guy is my only way out of the Shasta Chinook?
Blink twice, we'll help you.
That feels like an escape clause. No,
yeah, exactly.
That sounds fair.
I'm back on board with that one. And sir, there was never going to be any public displays of affection from me.
Sir, who was your traveling partner? Clause. Her name was Melania.
Yeah.
The other one is...
I mean, if you consider me flipping you the bird a sign of a public affection, yes, that'll probably happen.
What for you? I want to do that. Is that different?
No, that's not going to happen.
Number 11.
Where did you learn sign language?
From a guy I dated for a year.
But hey, I got what you wanted out of it, so you did good.
Fair.
Big fucking deal. How about that? Number 11. Periodic moments of extended eye contact.
No. No. You got to keep your eyes in the road. You're driving a Shasta Chinook, sir.
Alice. Like in a really creepy, like cross-legged stare at each other longingly.
No, this
kind
isn't just in the Shasta Chinook. This is at the festival. This is why you're there, enjoying it all.
I mean, if we're secretly making fun of the girl in the Indian headdress.
Cher is going to be there in her Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves outfit.
Oh, then I'm definitely not going home with him. I'm hitching a ride with Cher.
She has a train beaver.
Yeah.
Ask Greg Allman.
It'll lead me right across Canada.
Number 12, allow me to brush your hair once per day. Not mandatory, but it's encouraged.
Now we're getting weird.
You're out.
Yeah.
Must not be into drugs, but pot's okay.
Okay.
Okay. Number 14.
I'm starting to feel very Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, exactly. It got a little weird with the brushing of the hair.
Oh, we're not done.
The lotion on
must
the
take
best.
A minimum of 4 photos of us together and post them to your Instagram account.
I don't have Instagram. I don't understand how it works.
Any personal grooming such as toenail clipping, eyebrow plucking, or lipstick application must be done in my presence.
Would you fuck me?
I'd fuck you. Yeah. No.
At least once during the festival, you must allow me to carry you on my shoulders so you can see the stage better. By the way, perfect time for Instagram photo.
Good luck, honey, because I just stood on a scale.
Like, I've lived with somebody and shared one bathroom, so I know that things happen in the other one's presence. Like, we're all pretty realistic about what happens when you got the shower curtain closed and with a one-bathroom, two-person household. You are not cutting your toenails in front of me. Uh-uh. There are things that can happen and things that we will pretend never need to happen, and one of them is clipping the toenails. Not
good to know, because I considered that for tonight. They need to be trimmed. I thought, well, I can just multitask.
At least twice during the festival, you must tell me in a playful manner, I am naughty. Oh.
The Shasta Chinook is not looking anywhere near as appealing as it
really
did initially.
Number 18.
I'm taking myself off. Yeah,
exactly.
Of two,
I'd
three,
like to be disqualified
five,
immediately.
7 and 9.
Number 18. At some point in time during the festival, you must tell me that, quote, you didn't know how this was going to go, but you're actually having a really good time.
Okay. Now that one I'm going to back up. I like to tell people the beginning of a trip. In case I forget to tell you later, I had a great time.
Before the car is pulled away from the curb,
yeah,
this is going to be great.
Usually I do it as we're buckling up in the airplane, like, in case I forget to tell you later, I had a wonderful time.
Number 19, at least once during our stay, after your shower, you must use the steam on the mirror to write a cute message to me so that later when I shower, I can see it.
Help, I've been kidnapped.
Help, yeah. Outside of the word help, I had a
loss. Oh, okay. Number 20.
Wait, there's more?
The final one. The 20 was a 20 list of 20.
All right.
The final one.
Felt longer.
You must be ready to party and have fun. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity. And as mentioned, all expenses are paid during this trip. If you think you're the one, let me know and we can have a great time together. My name is Gordon. I'm 56 years old and I'm from West Covina, California.
All
the best.
All right, I'm back, Gordon. On board. Just to say I got to go to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's hometown.
West
now,
Covina.
I need to look at a map. I don't remember how far it is from West Covina to Indio.
Too far.
I'm going to say, I'm just going to throw this out there, 2 hours. So I'm going to say 100 miles.
First off, I always want to go to West Covina. Now, well, not always.
Well, God, because of
look at
West
you.
Girlfriend.
110 miles.
I'm really good at this game.
Right now. Hour 42 minutes. Indio is really in the inland.
No, I know where Indio is. I go through that every time I go to LA.
West Covina is just West Los Angeles, north of Anaheim.
Oh, okay.
Because it's 2 hours from the beach.
And
four with traffic.
Yeah. Four with traffic.
Oh, shit.
And Rancho Cucamonga is where... oh, Jesus Christ. What's the show with the stoners on Comedy Central?
Workaholics.
Workaholics. They live in Rancho Cucamonga.
All right.
Rancho Cucamonga. So there you are. That's if you went there, if you're listening to the show by any odd chance and you took Gordy up on his old offer there, please reach out to us. We'd love to talk to you after weekend
two. And know that you haven't
been
raped and killed in the desert.
Yes, yes. And remember, blink twice if you haven't.
Think of it as a proof of life video at this point.
Exactly. Hold up a newspaper from today. Yeah. Get a USA Today from whatever. Well, actually, I'm not sure what the little travel lodge you were going to stay in is going to offer as far as daily news information.
So when Nant asks, and I think we all want to know, do we have a photo of Gordon?
We do not. We don't have a photo of Gordon. The only thing
That's
we've got is this beautiful, well-kept... Lovely
his friend,
traveling.
You don't even know how bad I want one of those.
What kills me is I bet he bought this brand new and it's perfect. Like nothing's wrong with it ever. I love it. I think it's the coolest thing.
They don't do well.
Oh, because it's got the Ford truck on it.
I'm fine with the Ford truck.
Yeah, a Ford front end.
No, the whole thing's a Ford chassis. But I mean, it's literally built because you can walk right from the. From the front into the back end. It's all one.
Not kidding. My parents owned one of those when I was a kid. Like, we had one. Ours was a long car. Ours was a, I think that one's like a 26 foot. I think ours was like a 30 something foot.
Mm, fancy.
Yeah, because we had the dinette that turned into a bed in the back.
Oh,
well,
yeah, right. Sure. Yeah, as it should.
Because my sister and I have always been against like sharing a sleeping space, so we would.
Oh, and Harrison is offering to take me to West Covina for a dinner or a movie. On a Pantages weekend. So
oh, for crying out loud.
What in the world? But we're going to do
you
it.
You have to take a lot of pictures.
Yeah,
let's go.
Harrison,
yeah.
Harrison.
And can you do a little song and dance?
Yeah, my question is, Harrison, do you have a list of requirements for Al? And I would like you to post those in the chat room. Or message them to me privately and I will pose them to him on the show. That would be good. Our next story again comes from Alfred Perkins. Here we go.
All right, so April from the draft finally gave it up.
Yes.
Oh, a finally. Giraffe at a New York zoo whose pregnancy has been live streamed since February
Christ.
Finally gave birth on Saturday
the
morning.
Does nobody
ever.
Know what the gestation period of a fucking giraffe is?
Clearly, the zoo does not.
I
they
guess
learned.
Not.
They just learned just, today or yes. yesterday. When was yes. that? Happen? Friday.
Maybe she lied about who the dad 15th. Was, which is why it took long.
Right, exactly. I didn't want to admit I was dating Jimmy, so I pretended it was someone else.
Wow.
The new calf born at the Animal Adventure Park in the town of Herbstville is a boy. April could be seen in her stall on live camera cleaning off and watching over her new offspring. More than a million people were watching the live footage as April gave birth, according to the Washington Post. The video has gained mounting national interest over the last few months, with some social media conspiracy theorists even suggesting that the whole thing was a hoax. Giraffes are typically pregnant for 13 to 15 months.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's a big thing you got to grow.
That's fair.
They removed, I love this, YouTube had to briefly remove the video in late February after receiving complaints that it contained nudity and sexual content.
I read that.
Jesus Christ.
People are stupid.
And then there was people that were complaining because the animal was in captivity. Though it's unclear who was truly to blame, some animal rights activists have expressed concern for April's situation. PETA is, of course, involved and said the newborn giraffe would be denied a natural life. Yes, but I mean, or you can go live in Africa and the Trump sons can come hunt.
Right, and they can kill it immediately.
Pick
your
fucking poison.
Yeah. I'm sure giraffe pelt is best when it's young because it's supple.
The zoo has defended the practices, raising awareness for giraffe conservation and that their giraffes lead happy lives. Now, I got sucked into this motherfucker. Must have been back in February because somebody was saying it was actually happening. So I watched it, and I just watched a giraffe kind of
walk around,
stand there.
Yeah.
So then I went and watched like all these different animals give birth, and I swear to God, I almost became a vegetarian. For like 10 solid minutes, I was going to be vegetarian.
Live birth is really gross.
Well, there's no chicken available at that store.
It was nasty.
Well, the birth is not...
But they come from an egg, so that's a whole different animal. That's not nearly as grotesque as the
live
birth
thing.
Yeah,
but have you ever seen a chicken hatch?
Yeah.
Also gross.
Yeah, not pretty. Well, they need a shower almost
pick their
immediately
way out.
Afterwards.
Well, yes,
they're all slimy. And
feathers, yes.
Ugh. So, I mean, but mother
these
and child are fine, and I know you're supposed to hate zoos or whatever, but in some cases, that is the only way some of these animals are still alive and
right, because they're preserved.
Is unfortunately because in the wild, they're not being treated
That's
well.
That's 100%
and
right.
Prior to the internet, the only way that we knew that these animals existed and needed help was the zoo.
Yeah.
Like, prior to there being... A free and easy access to information, that's how you would find out that, oh, these animals exist in Africa and they need to be saved from, ivory traders.
And the zoos of the 70s and 80s are not the zoos of today. You know what I mean?
No.
The tiny pens, the horrible treatment. There are many, many zoos that have...
I learned a lot from Sesame Street watching about animals, too, because the only snuffleupagus I know is actually on Sesame Street. I don't know if there's any others out there, but...
He's the only one in
only
captivity.
One, see?
It's true.
That's just a shame. Well.
So an aunt put up a link. I wonder what the link is to.
Is it all the demands?
Oh, but so, I mean, if you go, you can spend a whole day on YouTube if you want to. And I did it that night looking for animals giving birth.
Harrison. I saw a picture of a giraffe baby and my first thought was, oh, what a cute coat that would make.
See, you just got to send the Trumps in first.
Yeah, let's.
Wow.
Alicia Rice did not expect the backlash. What are we? What, who's that? What's going on there?
No, nothing. I will mute it.
Oh, I thought it was her. Is that the rhinoceros or is that the hippo that shits everywhere and makes the farty sound?
Yeah,
that is a funny video.
That's what an aunt sent us.
It's a cute video. Alicia Rice did not expect the backlash when she posted the photo on her Instagram photo, but trolls were quick to emerge from the depths of the internet. This is in reference to a tattoo, by the way. One user wrote, "What in tarnation is this gay ass shit? This is what y'all do up in Wisconsin. Don't even look like his face and his helmet is severely fucked up. That's some homo ass shit." Now, these are reactions to a tattoo artist who made this tattoo of Green Bay Packers. I dare say the joke tight end.
Aaron Rodgers.
Now,
that is a pretty gay tattoo.
It is. But the person who requested the tattoo. Wanted to honor him. Nothing was ever said that it was to look like the player or any of that stuff. It was just his number, his thing, yada yada, whatever the hell it is.
His thing,
which according to that, his thing's good. Another one added that is, quote, "the gayest tattoo ever, and I'm sure A-Rod don't want that shit on no one." This is where the dialects could have come in, but I wasn't sure.
Oh, yeah.
There are many other comments that can be
viewed
on the artist's Instagram page. The idea for the tattoo was a combination of a client wanting a traditional American-style male pinup and a Green Bay Packers tattoo. Rice, who has been tattooing since 1992, told the Huffington Post she noted that the tattoo wasn't necessarily supposed to be Rodgers and that his particular jersey was selected because he's a football legend and the client admires him as a player and as a person. Now, 2 days after the posting, the initial image of the tattoo, the 43-year-old artist followed up with another post directly challenging the homophobic football fans and armchair tattoo critics that she had received. And she said, quote, "I'd like to thank the internet and the bloggers that brought homophobic football fans and armchair tattoo critics to my door. I'm happy with the results, and so is the client. You may not understand why someone would want a hunky football player tattoo, but tattooing is personal to everyone. This tattoo is a celebration of identity, home, and team. That's it. Hate and bigotry are not welcome here.
And if you want to pretend that Aaron Rodgers is part of Tom of Finland's Green Bay Packers team, sure.
Sure.
I think it's a cute tat. I mean, I wouldn't want it. I mean, I don't want any of them, but still, I just like, well, that's a cute tat.
But I mean, I like the Tom of Finland kind of artistry, the over-muscled.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not painting that on me either, but I'm like, all right, I get it. It's sexy.
Sure.
It's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Some people want to think of Aaron Rodgers that way. I don't.
Oh, sure.
But it's not my arm.
No.
I don't understand the whole thing. Like, there's nothing on that
tattoo
Dorothy
Blanche
that I understand
Rose and Sophia, thank you for being thank a friend, but I do not
what
understand
if it was,
your tattoo.
What if it was our dear boy, I'm forgetting his name.
Oh, Mark Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez.
Sure.
Sure, we get on board for that. There's a whole different day.
Do you want to make him into Tom of Finland or just show me a naked picture of him? I'm okay with both.
Here's what I don't understand.
And I'm sure the person...
Sports? I don't know.
Yeah.
Tattoos? Nah, I got nothing.
I got nothing.
Naked boy? No, still nothing.
Back on board.
I got nothing for that tattoo. Zero things.
But I... Like, it's also about you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care what your tattoo is like. If I like you, and then, you know, all right, you got a tattoo. Whoopee shit. Like, who cares?
Right.
It's one of those things that, like, you decided to do that to your body, I didn't. If it's offensive, then I'm like, okay. Well, you know what I mean, Aaron. It's in the spirit of, it's not literally Tom of Finland. She's very picky.
I know. Do you have another story, Al?
Yes, and
thank God it wasn't a fucking Star Trek tattoo, or you'd have lost your goddamn mind.
Okay, now I have not read this story, but the headline has been making me laugh.
You think I read
any
of your mind? Go ahead.
Two pirates rescued when homemade ship sinks on Utah Lake. That's just the best.
Okay, first of all, the fact that they are in dirty, muddy Utah Lake.
Yeah.
Gross.
Okay, Dateline Provo.
Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is where Utah Lake is located.
Thank you for being a friend.
I didn't think they'd moved it.
A couple of adventure
Utah's
seekers.
Utah's a big state.
Yeah. A couple of adventure... Meow-cow, can we please have a map with Provo Lake or Utah Lake on there? A couple of adventure seekers set sail on Utah Lake last weekend, but quickly realized they were literally in over their heads when their handcrafted pirate ship sank. Adventure enthusiasts... Levi Harris and Landon Smith, those are both synonymous with stupid, constructed the boat using 4 inner tubes, 1 kitchen table, and a hammock for a sail. You got to find a picture. It was homemade, but
them.
It worked, Levi Harris said. It worked actually pretty well until it sank.
For 10 feet. It worked for 10
so
feet.
So Harris and Smith dressed the part before setting sail and declared themselves probably officially the first pirates ever to set sail on Utah Lake.
Is pirates really the phrase they should be using?
Yeah. For the most part, it was smooth sailing until Captain Landon and his first mate went underwater. It was cold enough that we got mildly hypothermic, but we made it. The two were evaluated by emergency personnel and were not seriously injured, but their voyage ended with a cautionary tale. It was dangerous, and that's something we learned, Harris said. Sorry, I made it Harrison. They only had one life vest on their pirate ship, but they also had a dinner table. Although Utah law requires at least one life jacket for each person on board, officials let them off with a warning for that. The adventurers have since considered some changes, maybe not with a table, but the hammock thing worked pretty good. So I think we'll explore that option and definitely taking more than one life jacket. Officials call the incident a good safety reminder. As the weather warms up, outdoor adventurers should have fun, but also be safe. What in the fuck?
I just want to start singing the Gilligan's Island.
I know.
There are no pictures of this boat. There are pictures of the boys wrapped in
towels. Yeah,
towel.
Their rescue mission back.
Right. But the boat, I guess, they didn't think to take a great picture of their lovely invention.
There's some video footage of it being sunk, though.
Does it say what sunk them? Because that's the only thing I didn't hear. Was it
water.
Just finally the inner tubes came out?
Water.
Ineptitude.
Lack of engineering skills, I'm going to guess.
Just wrong.
Oh, heaven's sakes, that's a good time.
If you want it, there's a little video that kind of, it looks like they just put the 4 inner tubes and the table, made a sail, Oh, there he is in his little pirate hat.
Oh, he has a hat?
He's got a pirate hat on.
Oh, no, they dressed as pirates.
Dressed the part.
Stupid people. Oh. Well, if you care to send me...
I'll send it to
message
you.
Message me the link to that. Well, for those listeners who listen every week, and I just can't imagine that you do.
Why wouldn't you?
Ellen DeGeneres, you may remember us talking last week about the kid who was looking for 18 million retweets to get nuggets for a year from Wendy's. Right. Well, Ellen DeGeneres, of lesbian and talk show fame, has finally met the teen who's on track to defeat her legendary record for the most retweets ever. And she's definitely threatening him to help keep her Oscar selfie on top. Now, for those of you who remember this from some time ago, she has, this is the most retweeted selfie picture or retweet ever in the history of Twitter. And she wants to maintain that.
And it's important to note that Liza Minnelli is just behind whoever's in the top right of the picture waving. Liza Minnelli's right behind her. Because Liza Minnelli really wanted to be part of that, and she gets blotted out by... Who is it on the top right?
I don't know. Well, is that Kidman?
Is
that Lupita Nyong'o, and that's her brother in front. Brother. And then I don't know who's behind him.
Yeah, I can't see that. I can't see that far.
I'm sure you could Google it, and probably gives you the list of everybody that's in it. But Carter Wilkerson is the name of the kid who made headlines earlier this month after Wendy's told him he'd have to get 18 million retweets for a year's supply
of
their chicken nuggets. Oh, J-Lo. Okay, gotcha. Currently, Wilkerson is about 3.1 million, and Ellen's Oscar selfie is at 3.3. Now, this is a little outdated data from earlier today when this story was put together. Ellen asks Wilkerson while he's appearing on her show, what are you doing? Trying to sabotage me? She goes, what are you trying to do? I worked really hard for that. All the 16-year-old wanted was some chicken nuggets. And now he has almost 76,000 Twitter followers. I actually followed him today. I retweeted last week, but I didn't follow him until today. Wilkerson has become an internet sensation since his tweet went up on April 5th, even earning himself the coveted Twitter verification checkmark that you are trying to work on as well.
I'm working on it.
Last week, Ellen enlisted the help of Bradley Cooper, who was in the aforementioned retweeted picture of hers, to ask everyone retweeting Wilkerson's tweet to simultaneously retweet the Oscar selfie again so that, yes, we can get him to his 18, but she wants to still be above him so she will maintain her title.
That is genius.
So what they're doing is she's both bribed and threatened Wilkerson to help this. She says she gave him a big screen TV. She gave him a year's supply of Ellen underwear. And then she finished up the interview by saying, if somehow you pass me, Carter, I will come to your house. I will come to your house and I will take the TV back. I will take the underwear back and I will do more.
That a girl.
Ellen DeGeneres threatening people so she can stay on top of the retweets.
And that is Angelina Jolie in the picture, because that's the year that 12 Years a Slave was nominated and Brad Pitt won his... Brad Pitt finally won his Oscar for Best Picture.
Gotcha. Now, the other thing,
Liza Minnelli is right behind there, and you have to see it taken from the cameras in the Your Name Goes Here theater.
Right.
Yes, exactly. The Kodak Dolby.
Now it's the Dolby, yeah.
Yeah.
Dolby still.
Did you have another story, Alfie? Because, all right, well, I have this. This video popped up. You know how videos show up for advertising of wacky things on Facebook sometimes?
Yeah.
Well, this popped up. And I wanted to share it with you because I've never seen this. I think there's sound that goes along with it, but I wanted to, it's an umbrella, and I don't know if anybody else has seen this thing. Let's see if there's...
Oh my gosh, I think I have.
You probably have, because you're one of those people who checks into things like this. So let's see if I can get this on. Boom, boom.
I have not.
The ultimate umbrella.
That makes sense, though. The numbrella, numbrella. It's very rare that I find something unattractive yet still
functional. How much are they? I feel like we need them.
Yeah.
Can I wear them in studio? Is it still bad luck if I wear it in studio?
And I can pretend I'm suffering from a horrible head and neck injury, and this is the halo.
Oh my god, we could also play Mission to Mars. That could be our helmet.
Yeah.
We could put on our moon boots and just bounce around the yard all day.
Or what's the 80s movie where the girl has the halo for the whole thing? Is it Ferris Bueller or...
I couldn't tell.
16 Candles? It's one of the... Okay, yeah. Somebody help me with the 80s movie where the girl has the halo on for the whole movie.
I don't know.
Love it. Oh my god, we could play Mean Girls.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Regina George gets a halo in that.
There's that.
How, how much is it? I need details here because this is not the umbrella that I was thinking.
Well, look up NU.
What kind of news show is this? You don't have the price?
I just had the video. You're the Googler. You're the one who's going to look up shit.
NUBRELA.com.
N-U-B-R-E-L-A. Yeah, NUBRELA. I'm sure there'll be.
Oh, look at that NUBRELA price. Thank you for listening to me.
Oh, look at that.
Devices.
How much is that horrible looking thing?
$50.
$50. $50. You just have to look like a complete idiot walking around with it on.
Well, now,
but when you've got both hands free, you can do whatever.
You can slap all the people that are laughing at you.
Yeah.
Like
look at that.
Idiot.
Bam. Now, what worries me here, and here's my real concern.
This is the big concern.
Dorothy Blanche Rose Sophia.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a friend. Is that, you know how when you're walking down the windy, horrible street, and the wind catches your umbrella and you get yanked back by the arm about 3 feet, and then the umbrella dies a horrible death, and you're left with that mangled piece of machinery?
I don't think that can happen here.
Well, first of all,
am I going to get jerked off by the neck?
Wow.
Two things.
That sentence went all wrong.
Yes, it did.
Two things.
Yes.
First of all, I think there's another name for that.
Yeah. Decapitated.
Is that what it's called?
Second of all.
I'm guessing you've never been jacked off before, if that's what you're counting.
That's true, I haven't.
Wow.
Second of all, you're supposed to lean into the wind. You're not supposed to even let the wind catch your umbrella. You're supposed to put the point to
I like your optimism on the windy streets of New York with all those buildings that the wind is blowing in one direction, or Chicago. When the wind is coming at you from 14 directions and you're Mary Poppins taking a header into a curb.
What the fuck are you doing outside? Are there no bars open?
I'm
trying to get to a bar.
I'm trying to get from a hotel to a bar in this story.
Good God, man. Stay in a hotel that has a bar. Problem solved.
Exactly. We've learned that lesson the hard way.
How hard is it to get from your hotel to Marie's Crisis? I don't know this because I've never been there, but I'm going to learn someday.
I usually stay in the Chelsea area, so... It's a little bit of a walk if you walk to Marie's Crisis. But I had that hotel room, whatever it is, on 28th Street or 29th Street, 27th Street, somewhere in there.
Sure.
And all I would do is walk to the corner because my friend works at one end of the street and she lives on the other. So all you had to do was walk in either direction on the small island of Manhattan. And every time I went back to the hotel with a mangled piece of machinery, all I heard was, Mr. Perkins, do you need another umbrella? Yes. Yes, I do. My umbrella died, and two or three of the hotel's replacement umbrellas, because I just had them ready. The weather was so horrible. But like the one umbrella, the Arizona one, I just walked outside to hail the cab, and whoosh, it like...
Went away.
Flew, jerked my arm out of its socket, got torn into like 15 pieces, and I'm like, okay, I guess that was an umbrella at one point.
I think you're in luck here with the, what do we call this thing, the no-brella?
New-brella.
I'm gonna call it Numbrella.
New-brella.
It's has an entire like harness and strap system, so...
Right. I'm going parasailing.
Yes, that was what I was thinking. You might go airborne.
Like, I feel like we would provide ample anchorage.
Does this come with a mattress to land on 30 feet away?
I feel like it's just going to add to your moon landing experience.
I would be very surprised. Well, first of all, I want to see a wind that can lift me and the Numbrella to get this. I like to see
well, that's the
get
lifting
this off
would
the
be
ground.
Fine. It's the jerk up and then the down. That hurts so much. I
like to see the Russians get
I've
this off
Mary
the
Poppins
ground.
I've seen Mary Poppins enough times. It's just a gentle float to the ground.
God and nature decide that, I'm not lifting that fat pig. Yeah. I meant that about me. But the funny part about that trip was...
It sounded mean, but it wasn't.
No, it was like 3 years ago, like today, was that the week started like that, and then we ended up all getting sunburned at Bryant Park having lunch. Because we were all in the mindset of like, we were just here for a tornado and all this cloudy stuff. And then by, I think it was Easter Sunday, we were all sitting at a table having lunch and nobody had put on sunblock because no one was thinking, oh, the weather has changed that drastically in 3 days that we need to have sunblock. And we all got horrible sunburns.
Burns.
And never put up an umbrella because we'd all been traumatized by the jerk up, nah, down.
The phrase jerk has been used a lot in the show. Well, at least you've gone away from gun violence to jerking.
That's true. You know what? It's progress.
I feel we're getting there, yes. Well, at this time, I think we have nothing to do but to turn over another segment to Al Perkins.
Another pandemic! Girls, we got TV to talk about. Because that TV is doing amazing things this month. We have not talked about Big Little Lies. A new show on Netflix that I learned about, devoured, and became obsessed with in the course of one 24-hour period. Grindr has a poet in residence. A comedian that y'all need to be watching because he's specifically talking to Clayton McKee.
Oh.
Homeland and the podcast that was recommended last week that I feel you're all punking me. How was that?
I didn't recommend a podcast.
No, I think that was an Anant recommendation, if I'm not mistaken.
But it was everybody. Everybody. It was an all-in on that. So
we'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that. Yeah.
How do you take it?
Shake
She
black.
Takes a black, like her men.
All right. So our book club is still going on, and we are reading Handmaid's Tale. It is available on Kindle for free. It's available through Amazon Prime for free. On your Kindle. I think them's the rules. I think you have to order it through Amazon Prime for your Kindle, and Kindle is free on your iDevices. So, and it's free this month, or free for a while. So it was free for all of us last month, right?
Yeah, you have to be a Prime subscriber.
And if you're not a Prime subscriber, what are you doing?
What is really
cool? I have.
We can set up a GoFundMe. So that's the book. So everybody get ready. And I think we have a date for the book club of May.
Mid-May.
You have like a...
It was right before...
Yeah, you have a month to read it.
May 23rd.
May 23rd is your deadline for The Handmaid's Tale. So we did not talk about last week, and I was very... We were remiss in this, but Big Little Lies. Sundays. First, let's talk about the day Sunday.
Sunday.
Dorothy, Rose, Blanche, Sophia, thank you for being a friend. HBO is telling us why they are in business and why they're kicking everybody's ass. Big Little Lies. Well, Sundays. First off, we got to go back to Sunday. The Walking Dead feud, Big Little Lies, Homeland, and John Oliver, now Veep. Like, there's too much to tape, which
so
is why
things.
I never taped Feud, and I waited to, like, binge-watch Big Little Lies, because there's too much going on Sunday, and my TV was panting from the exercise. Big Little Lies, seven or eight episodes,
I think it's eight episodes.
The director that gave us Wild and Dallas Buyers Club brings us Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon, Laura Dern, Shailene Woodley, Zoe Kravitz... And some other big star, Alexander Skarsgård, Laura Dern, if I didn't say her name, in one of the best things I have ever seen on TV.
Super good.
So good. And we talked about the first episode, but then we had to like let it go because there's too much going on Sunday TV. So you just got to pick your moment.
Right.
Well,
because I think we watched like the first episode in the same week.
Yeah.
And I was terrified because I feel like I'm living that life a little bit.
Yeah,
in Scottsdale.
And I feel like they took a book about a coastal town of Australia.
They made some changes, moved
it to Monterey.
Or Monterey.
To beautiful Monterey. And came up with one of the best things I have ever seen on TV. Like, as good as HBO has been for the 40 years that we've been friends, 45 years probably now, this was amazing. In the last 20 minutes of the last episode, I became stupidly obsessed with. I kept watching.
Oh, really?
That, just the direction, the acting, Reese Witherspoon sobering up on a dime, Nicole Kidman giving. And again, there's so many shows this year where, like, there is the best role ever written or performed by a female, and they just keep topping each other. I thought Jessica Lange was a lock with no competition for Best Actress at the Emmys and everything for the next year. And then Nicole Kidman came along in Big Little Lies and just...
Forget about it.
Devastated the fuck out of me. This is an amazing show. If you haven't seen it, so well done, so well put together. And that last episode, I want to study it. Like, I want to go to a college class all about everything they get across with that last episode. It was so well done. And that director, he's got nice little tricks. He's one of those people that you know you're like, this is the guy that made Wild. This is the guy that made Dallas Buyers Club. I'm in on his little... tricks and his little nuances, but boy, did they work when it came to that story and all the women coming together.
Yeah.
And that funny bit of business about the staircase. Every time Reese Witherspoon had to go to see the director of the musical and her disgust with the staircase and the fact that she always moved caution tape to get on that staircase. Like, clearly there's another way into this theater. There is no reason to take this five-story staircase. And she just, it's like, is it self-flagellation? And it just became a funnier and funnier
just
bit of business.
In her way. She's just angry about
what
it.
It made me... Oh, go ahead.
What is the story, the backstory? Without giving it away, what is the premise of
it's
this?
It's a bunch of moms of first graders that get into a little bit of a heated brouhaha about almost nothing on the first day of their children's kindergarten or first...
Something like
first
that,
day
yeah.
of
Young
first
children.
Grade. And they all kind of pick sides and go at each other. And they use all of, like, the energy that they have towards fighting each other, and then you find out their own personal demons. And one of the things I like is that, like, Laura Dern and Nicole Kidman are my age. Like, we're all within a couple of months of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that them having 5 and 6 year olds makes them like that precious baby syndrome. So you really get that fierceness about this is the only kid.
Yeah.
They had such there's a
overprotective.
There's a backstory on one character about the troubles with getting pregnant. There's not a backstory on another, so you don't know like how some of these older women have children. Then there's Reese Witherspoon, who just has a younger child. Then there's a young mother. There's two young mothers. There's two older mothers. There's one like with her second batch of like a second marriage kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you see them all come together, and oh my God, it is just... It's just so well put together, and his name is Jean-Marc... Oh, I'm going to get it wrong. But he's a French director, and he really uses these women beautifully, especially since Laura Dern played Reese Witherspoon's mother in Wild, and she played Shailene Woodley's mom in The Fault in Our Stars, and to have her be a contemporary with these people. And so you just end up liking all these women and, like... liking how they're fighting their faults, and they know they're kind of right, they know they're kind of wrong, but they're fighting for their kids. It's just so well done.
He's Jean-Marc, and I'm not sure how to say his last name. I want to say it Vallier.
Yeah, it's either Vallier or Vallier, and it's just beautifully directed, and the culmination, and the stairs became such a funny part of Reese Witherspoon's, like, and I just kept calling it the stair business. So I wanted to read the book, and that's mm-hmm. what made me like go back and read the book, because... You know, in The Exorcist, the stairs in Georgetown are a real thing. So the book of The Exorcist is written in Georgetown, and that set of stairs exists.
Mm-hmm.
And the apartment is put above those set of stairs for a reason. Like, that is a character in the book that has to go in the movie, and they had to actually film in Georgetown because you need those stairs. And it kept reminding... I just kept getting throwbacks of The Exorcist. Like, do we need these stairs? It's like, are these stairs a part of the story?
Right.
Because it's just such a funny bit of business. That
they're here everywhere, and they feel like a character, but why?
And it really does fit... Like, everything you find out about Reese Witherspoon just seems like, is she just trying to make it a miserable experience to go to the theater? Like, does she have to punish herself? So, I won't give away too much,
yeah.
But you'll really like it. It's on HBO... 7 or 8 episodes.
And now that it's all happened, I feel like it's a better experience to watch closer together.
Yeah. It was one of those ones where I think it would have been frustrating. And I had to give up because of the Oscars, the Walking Dead feud. There's too much on Sundays. You can't watch that much TV in one
sitting. I agree.
Sitting.
There's
so
a lot going on.
It was just time to like, all right, it ended. I'm going to sit down and watch it. And I have to say, me and my coffee just... And I couldn't stop. That last 20 minutes of that episode... The dreamlike quality of it, like the horror of it, mm-hmm. and when Reese Witherspoon sobers up on a dime and is just like, that takes a big person, and you realize like she has so gone from her nitpicky little Avenue yeah. Q world to being like, oh, I'm being a bitch. Really well done. So then we get to what I watch. I heard of. In one day, somebody brought it up. It's that actor, Dylan Minnette, that I like, that I've liked since he was a little kid on Lost. And he's kind of like Logan whatever his name is, from 310 to Yuma and Perks of Being a Wallflower, Logan Lerman. He's the Logan Lerman doppelganger that I have just always, like, anytime he is in something, Dylan Minnette, I'm like, all right, I'm going to follow along because I think this kid is one of those... people that's going to be really talented. If he can live through the Viper Room at 21, he's going to make it through a career. So this show is called...
Oh, this is the 13 Reasons.
13 Reasons Why.
It's on my list, and I just know that it's going to take some time.
You need 13 hours.
Yeah.
I
keep going to press play and getting like almost into the credits and going, nope, I don't have time. Don't have time.
And again, just when you think the greatest thing that ever happened was... Winona Ryder in Stranger Things, and then Jessica Lange in Feud, and then Nicole Kidman in this one. Now you get Kate Walsh.
And I love Kate Walsh.
Kate Walsh as the mother, which in any other movie of this type would be the ill-informed parent that's just not on board and just kind of like, you know, that eight, and it's in that 80s style. We just saw Donnie Darko at the movie, so it's not like Donnie Darko, but clearly they're stealing the themes of Donnie Darko, of like a little bit moody, unexplainable 80s music, because why are these kids listening to The Killing Moon? Like, The Killing Moon is in Donnie Darko and in 13 Reasons Why. And then Selena Gomez sings Only You by Yaz, which I'm serious, I am the only person in the world, besides maybe Tim, that A, knows Only You by Yaz and would think it is appropriate for a teen movie. Like, so, fuck off, Sylvia. I cannot stress how good this show is enough. It's a very tough watch. I found myself crying uncontrollably at parts. I found myself stupidly depressed. I watched there's a help video at the end, and I really did feel I needed to watch the help. I'm like, am I a teenage girl in trouble? I don't know, but 25 minutes of my time to prove I'm not. So it's the story of a girl who commits suicide, and she leaves a cassette tapes, not because it's the 80s, but because she wants people to work to hear them. She doesn't want to make it easier for them, so she gives them hand-drawn maps and 13 cassettes, and you find out the 13 reasons why she killed herself. And it goes as a chain letter through the 13 people that affected her, and person number 12 gets the tapes, and he listens to them, and you hear his story, and he liked her, and he's so dreading his side of the tape to find out what it was he did to help to make this girl feel even more despondent than she already did. And it's really strange. Go online, read about it. It's just, it's so, 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 so good.
Oh my God, it's like The Ring meets Girl Interrupted.
Girl Interrupted with everything.
Stranger Things.
It's all honest things that could happen, and something that you honestly think, that's not that bad, but then you just compound it with everything else, and you, like, and
there was somebody that in my Facebook, Twitter or Facebook feed somewhere had made a comment that they watched it, and their comment was something to the effect of, so many things right in line with their own life. And I was like, is that good? Is that bad?
It's so realistic. Like, there were things that there was one thing in the movie that happened to me in high school that I was like, that some people would be like, oh, that's kind of funny. No, it really, it
wasn't.
It may have been funny to someone else, but to the person that it happened to, it wasn't funny. And there's one thing that's really innocuous until you realize she was desperate for a friend. Like, she just, it was one of her last chances to make a friend. And her perception, and then it's interesting because sometimes you find out through the other characters that her perception of what happened wasn't right. That she was hurt when that's not what happened. Mm. And it's just, but it's really good. And this Dylan Minnette carries the whole thing because he's got 13 episodes to carry as the person listening to the tapes, reliving the stories, doing things. And if you've read the book, there's some changes in the, there are some changes. I just thought it was very powerful. And I watched it in one night. Like, I went to bed, woke up, and just finished it. I was like, you know what? Fuck it.
Wow. Yeah, that's why I keep getting that feeling off of it, so I haven't started.
So
it yet.
just be ready, because I honestly don't see how you could turn that. Like, I had to, like, I just fell asleep and had to sleep, but that was the only reason I stopped it, because you want to know what he did, because he's such a nice guy that you're like, what? And then when you find, you're just like, oh fuck. So it's tough, and they don't flinch away. The suicide is very graphic to make sure that no one thinks this is a way to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they make sure to let you know. Something's wrong.
This is not fun.
Yeah, and so Homeland just ended. If anybody can explain the end of Homeland to me, please tell me. That's another thing that's on Sunday nights.
I'm on, like, season two and spottily watching it. Sharon just started watching it from the beginning, so.
And it's interesting, and they got a lot of criticism because they only released 3 episodes to the critics at the beginning of the season, and everyone was like, oh, they made a female president, Hillary didn't win. But about episode 5, they get into fake news, Alex Jones, conspiracy theory, TVs, the sites that, all this stuff that we're just now learning, and they filmed this months ago, that we're just now learning about these fake Facebook accounts that are spreading fake news. They had it. They have the involvement from the wrong people, but, I mean, it's right on the pulse.
Oh, wow.
Like, in between the election and the inauguration, everything that happens to someone who supported the war and then didn't support the surge, and like a media bias and what elements of your personal life to bring up. So it had some good elements to it, but the ending was bizarre. I wasn't able to follow it. So if somebody could message me privately, and we'll chit chat about that. And then you motherfuckers all recommended S-Town to me. Serial's new one on season 3 of Serial is called S-Town, which stands for Shit Town, and I thought I was being punked. And they did it all at once. There's no waiting for it to come out. You don't have to wait to find out right. if, you know, the boy killed the girl or if Bergdahl is crazy or guilty or innocent. This is all at once.
Oh, wait. Not Schitt's Creek.
It's called S-Town. It's called S-Town, but it stands for Shit Town. Oh. And it's a story of a guy that was writing Fresh Air. He's a PBS listener from Alabama who's... If you've ever read A Confederacy of Dunces, it's like the main character from A Confederacy of Dunces is calling a call-in show. And it's batshit crazy. Like, cannot even express to you how crazy the caller is. And the fact that the host went down to Alabama and met with these people based on this crazy person's phone call about a murder that happened and paraplegizing someone... And, like, just the weirdness of the stories and the weirdness of the characters. And you're at episode 3, and they're interviewing the person, the murderer. Because everyone keeps telling him, well, if you really want to know, ask him. He'll tell you. They're like, you want me to interview the guy that I'm down here to find out if he murdered somebody? They're like, yeah, he talks about it all the time. And so episode 3 opens with the murderer telling him the story. And you're like, what the fuck is going on in this town in Alabama? So it's crazy. But the first episode is so... Is anybody listening to S-Town? I love the music for S-Town. Anant, what is wrong with you? Wait a minute. The music on S-Town. How could you focus on the music when that crazy man is talking?
So the only thing I know about S-Town is... Because I'm still listening to and drinking the Kool-Aid of Pod Save America. And they're now family of podcasts because they have expanded.
Oh, okay.
They've expanded their media empire, as they call it. So there's Pod Save America, which is like reborn, keeping it 1600. And then there's Tommy Vitor has veered off and is doing one called Pod Save the World, which is like international policy, like still really like wonky podcast, but about the world. And then John Lovett, the narcissistic, snarky one that we all identify with. Right. That I keep like tweeting at him that I'm basically the John Lovett of this show. He started his own podcast called Love It or Leave It. And it's like a live thing. And it's actually really fun to listen to. It's kind of my favorite of their stable of podcasts. But he's been ranting because S-Town dropped at the same time that his podcast did. And so it's been killing him in the ratings.
Oh.
And then he comes back 2 weeks later and says, okay, here's the thing, though. It's really fucking good.
Yeah, it's riveting because this person is insane. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, the guy is telling, it's the boring serial people that talk like this. And they tell you their story about Alabama. And he's like, I don't really think I can do this justice, so I'm going to just play this. Y'all know what's going on down here in Shit Town. It's just a shit town. And the climate change. He rants about climate change and eco-warriors. And he has a background maze. And he gives his address by longitude and latitude. So you can look up and see his backyard maze and the topiary. And he lives with his mother. And his friend has one tooth that he can dangle the cigarette off his one tooth. And... hangs out at a biker bar that's behind a tattoo shop that's closed so only white people can go. And you can't even imagine this universe that they get with this guy just talking like this. But he's like, I don't know if he's really educated or just knows big words, but he just talks a bunch of shit. Oh my God. And it was crazy. It's crazy.
I just subscribed.
Yeah, you have to. And if you have any kind of a drive or anywhere you have to be, and if all you make it through is that first one, just listen to the first episode and listen to the train of thought of this crazy motherfucker that called in. And then you have to worry about the producers that were like, yeah, let's go to Alabama and see what this guy's story is.
Wow.
crazy, crazy, crazy. So I listened to Justin Sayers on the YouTubes. He is the International Order of Sodomites, that comedian that I love that's always in caftans and muumuus and stuff and is so politically on the money and so funny. His last three shows have all been addressed specifically to Clayton.
I don't know why, but we're going to find out.
He brings up gays being pissed off about RuPaul being on Friday nights. Like, I mean, he has taken the words right out of your mouth on topics.
He listens. He's a listener.
It's just what the fuck else are you going to do on Friday night? You're going to give up some cocaining to watch a one-hour television show? And then he talks about binge watching it and how he, like, has some kind of, like, when he watches them for real, he's, like, gives the Puerto Ricans more credit than they deserve. And when he watches the back, they really suck. And it's so random and bizarre. But so he – and he has – I think he has one from like November, December, January, and March or April. And they're all funny. They're 8 or 9 minutes long. He's a really funny stand-up with really shitty things to say. And like he's talking about how – he's talking about Richard Simmons and that Richard Simmons has never officially come out of the closet. He Googled it. And he's like – when they make the TV, he's like, if he dies and it becomes a Lifetime TV movie, who's going to play it? It has to be a woman. And so he's talking about how you have to say the words. He's like, I'm going to Annie Sullivan this. Helen, if you want the wah-wah, you're going to have to say wah-wah. That joke is so awful.
God, yes.
And the audience kind of boos, and he's like, really? It's too early for a Helen Keller joke. So then in January, it turns out they edited down one of his into, like, his tributes to Debbie Reynolds, and they're hysterical. Oh, so he does two, like, 5 or 6 minute tributes to Debbie Reynolds. Oh, do you have that ready to play? You have to play part of it.
Oh, you're hang out. No,
so not. We're going to watch it, and it'll only be here. So if you're listening to this later, we probably had to edit it out. I don't think we're going to get hit by any, because if anybody recognizes the song, God
How
bless you.
How long has it been since we edited a show?
But I think they might bleep this. So he talks about Debbie Reynolds.
I'm sorry. I was already for the boat. Okay.
And the crazy talent that she displayed in Las Vegas. So he talks about this tambourine number, and he's like, I just want to see Demi Lovato in 20 years in Vegas doing this shit.
Oh my God, I would love that.
Yeah.
That was on tonight, wasn't it? The Demi Lovato BG tribute?
No, that was I watched it in a patient's room the other night.
Oh, it already
happened?
The
Grammy tribute.
Oh, good, yeah. Then I can find it.
So Liberace introduces her because they shared a stage together, and this is some crazy choreography. But so Justin Sayer has a whole thing about her in this tambourine, and it's his stand up is funny about it. But then I watched this like 3 times because I'm like, bitch has got it going on. So Clayton's going to show it.
But I said the only straight person on that stage is her.
Like, it's Fosse-esque, and it's like...
Oh, big finish. She's lipping that.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's the dance, though.
I want the beige jumpers to come
back. She's keeping up with 20-year-old boys, and, like, look at that shit.
In heels.
In heels. And she's giving you, like... Fosse Ayers is from the late 70s, so she's in her mid-40s.
Look at him go. Oh, she didn't do the knees, though.
She's in a split to the cougar dress. Leave her alone.
Right.
So either listen to... It's just phenomenal. The old Caesar Show Palace. I think that's the Caesar Show Palace. So... Oh my God. But Justin Sayer, so much goddamn fun. The International Order of Sodomites. And for some reason, he only comes up on my Facebook feed like once every couple of months. So I ended up watching 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But when he talks about Debbie Reynolds dying and like, I guess he was like on vacation and people were texting him like, oh, they're love for each other. He's like, no, that bitch knew how to like top another bitch. The girl was like, she knew how to steal a show. And so we also learned from him, and I love this. That Grindr, for reals, has a poet in residence.
Okay.
So Justin Sears.
I'm not sure that I want to know, but come on.
Like, who's going to set poetry to no blacks, no Asians, no femmes? Like, how are you going to make poetry out of that? Isn't that all Grindr is? No right. fatties, no femmes, no right. Asians, no right. blacks.
It's all, and it's very bigoted. And
yeah, it's all bigoted and racist. But anyway, so just the fact that in real life, Grindr has a poet in residence. So this is a real honest to God thing. So if you're on Grindr for nothing else, enjoy the
iambic pentameter.
I can't even say it. I can't even take it seriously. But I love that. And then there's a big thing, and I don't know if anybody, if you have it for your two things, about the new bar in Chelsea that
I
used to be where the
Rebar.
The Rebar that used to be where the G was, the G Lounge, mm-hmm. right? It was here Lounge in LA, and in New York it was called G. And oh my God, they are getting ripped mm-hmm. to shreds all over the internet and all the queer news. Everyone is taking them to task for profiling at the door, keeping black really. People out to keep it a white crowd. Whether it started from the old owners of G or it's these new owners that people know from other bartending jobs, like where the animosity is coming from, if it's not truly real.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just the bouncers were trying to do something, like build a clientele or keep people out, you know how you keep people waiting in the street so passersby think, oh, that's a happening spot, let's get in line too. You keep a little bit of anticipation. Whether it was racist related, like where it's coming from. But I mean, they are just getting ripped to shreds from all sides. And it's every single gay magazine across the country now has picked it up. And it's all over. But then when you look at the pictures of the nights that are going, it is a predominantly white crowd. But there are people of color here and there. But you just keep like...
Tokens.
Yeah, you just keep thinking, this could also be... almost vice rapist in chief Ryan. Why can't I think of his last
Paul
name?
Ryan.
Paul Ryan.
Ryan is his last name.
Yeah, it's almost Paul Ryan's like
intern staff. Right?
Oh, right.
You know, like, oh yeah, there's a black. I mean, it really does turn into as you're looking through all the pictures.
We have white guys in tank like, tops, white guys in sleeveless Asian. Shirts. We have white guys in cutoffs.
She's singing Sieg Heil. No, but it is crazy. So, I don't know if it's true. So, if there's anybody listening from New York, if you're in New York, let us know like what they're really doing. Like, make a black friend and go try to get into.
Well, if you look on their Facebook page, first, one of the reviews is from a black guy who said he was there, everything was fine, that the music was on point, everything was good, and that he'd be back.
Yeah.
Now, whether he's permitted back, I don't know because I don't know much about the club at this point. But there was a review on their Facebook page.
That's so hard, then. That like. This could be an example of just another unfair lynch mob of social media.
Right, and it's hard it's hard
and that's
to judge
so hard to overcome.
Right. And it's so hard to judge what the thing is, but then there's all these stories of people that were being told, no, we're at capacity, and then they were letting white people pass, and then the people were like, it's not full at all in there. You know what I mean? And like it was kind of like capacity for people of color. Like it turned into one of those
We've got our quota. Sit down.
Yeah. So I mean, when you listen, when you read the stories, and there are, and again,
sure,
there are a couple of black people, a couple of Asians, and a couple Latinos. Like, but it does seem like they were carefully. When you look at the pictures and you realize you're in New York City, you're like in a Friends episode.
Carefully
like,
cultivated.
You're all white. But then one of the reviews said, "I felt like I was in Queens." Like he was like, "It was so diverse. I thought I was in Queens, not in Manhattan." So it's. So it's interesting to see how this goes. The club did not address it. Their messaging back was not good at all. They tried to blame the bouncer for making the anticipation factor of having people in line, but they're like, but the line was 25 black people and one white person that got in. Like, so it's all iffy, but take a look, you know, see what you think. It's kind of...
I didn't read much else up, but I saw a couple news stories.
And one of the things that Justin Sayer is always talking about is like the racist quality of online gay dating services.
Oh, sure.
Because of the like no blacks, no Latinos, or, you know, like the no chocolate, no rice. Like they have all these horrible ways of saying stuff.
Don't act like gay people can't be racist too.
Yeah. And that's
for
the,
sure can.
Good night, Harrison. And there's a But it's an odd story, and it's one of those things that you just hate reading about. And there was some Trump supporters on the one page I was reading that were like all for it.
Of course,
like,
they were.
Like, I wouldn't sleep with a black guy, so why would I want to go to a gay bar with a black guy? And you're like, what the fuck? Like, what? Like,
the world.
Like, everyone that's at the bar is just there for you to shop through. Like, you know what I mean? It's not a catalog. It's a fucking bar.
You know, I seriously
thought it was a catalog. Terribly sorry. I've got some pictures I have to destroy later.
Oh, that's what it is. No fats, no femmes. That's
what Sometimes I sit around and I think to myself, how did your average Roman feel as the Roman Empire was declining and falling? Right. Like, did it kind of feel like this? Kind of like, the fuck is going on around here? This used to be a pretty great place and now it's going to shit.
Like Trump saying he never said the Chinese manipulated.
Right. I never said that. We have video cameras. Like, we have tape recording.
You're making my head
hurt.
This
shit literally happens. I don't know.
So that's it for entertainment.
All right. Kat sent me the video of the boys in their boat, the pirates.
Oh, okay. Play that.
The boys in their boats.
So I wanted to say, now, I don't know if we need audio for this or
not. I don't think so. I didn't listen to any.
It was just them on their boat.
Yeah, because this is clearly a home video, but I believe he was standing on the table.
On the table.
There.
So there's his little sail.
Wait, he's got his little hat on here. You can see the shadow of it right there.
So
wait, you're going to see it. It's going to be so cute.
He's got a scarf.
this may be the gayest thing that we've shown.
Levi
on
Harris,
this.
He looks like intelligence.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's his hat. Look at his little
That's a fantastic hat.
I know.
And what is the what do they make the sail out of?
I don't know. It looks like that's the hammock.
Oh, gotcha.
It looks like one of those nylon hammocks that you can just
and then,
hang.
Well, that'd be the phone in the water. I think that's the bad part. Well,
it must have been like a GoPro.
Floating. There's a floating
dining room
table. Wow. And there's them outside of the ambulance. Well, that's exciting.
What could possibly have gone wrong?
Who knows?
In that scenario?
No, absolutely not. So somewhere at the bottom. Well, I would have thought the table probably would have continued to float.
Depending on its construction.
Yeah, but I would think independently most all of that would still float somewhere, but well, maybe
well,
not. It,
for sure, but not all is a weight-bearing enterprise.
I like that the hammock stays, though.
Well, sure.
That was a good idea.
The hammock was a good idea. Well, sure, because it was a nylon hammock and caught all the wind and capsized the boat.
Oh, damn
it's
it.
It's a good one.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
It was wet.
It was the wettest of times.
It was the most wettest. Okay, well, here we go. We'll see how this works out for us all. Stand by.
Two things is what she brings. Two things is what she's talking about. Two things, important little things. That is what she's spouting out.
You just need two things.
That means two things.
Let's get two things clear.
And then two things about yourself.
And I've come to share with you one of two things. No, two of two things. We're sharing two things right now.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
Quick, grab two things you love.
It can be two things.
Only two things in the world I'm scared of.
Rise of two things.
Remember two things.
I believe in two things.
Guys are only after two things.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Never half-ass two things. Whole ass one thing.
Two things brought to you by the Kat Carlson Memorial VIP Lounge.
Oh my god.
The
gosh.
Memorial is silent.
The Memorial is silent.
Gotta be on it.
This is gonna be like nesting dolls of two things, first of all.
The nesting doll.
The Russian dolls of two things. All right.
First of all, two things to add to entertainment.
Oh.
I know.
Wow. I feel like I had something to add too, but I'm not sure.
I feel like you could at this point. Think that up if you like. We'll let you.
Let me think through that. All right, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, do you have access to the Hulu?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A Hulu original that I just started watching. They're going to do 8 episodes. They've put out 3. It puts out every Wednesday. But really puts out whenever you pay it because the show is called Harlots.
Oh, I saw the commercial.
I watched all 3 episodes today. In a row. I'm in love.
Side by each.
Right. Side by each. One of the main characters is played by the woman who played... Sybil in Downton Abbey. Mm-hmm. Cute, cute girl. I can't remember her name. I would Google it, but I did that earlier and still can't remember her name. Adorbs. And it's just that whole, like, turn of the 18th century, London, you know, brashy with the accent and the horse and the whole thing. It's got a little bit of intrigue. There's a little competition. It's great acting. I'm into it. It's campy. It's fun.
Yeah, the commercials look fantastic.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Please watch it.
Bronwyn Jones, Bronwyn James, Alexa Davies, Dorothy Atkinson.
Go further down the list. Hang on. Oh, I don't want to get rid of that window.
But I feel like Bronwyn James is who you were thinking of, isn't it?
No. Stand by, because she's far down the list. I think she plays Charlotte.
Oh, Jessica Brown Findlay?
Yes. Who played Sybil in Downton Abbey. That was the youngest sister that died early on. That, to this day, I still don't know why they had to kill her, because she was doing a great job. In any event, watch The Harlots. That's my new obsession. I'll be watching it every Wednesday. Mm. Stand by. And then, I'm very upset that I missed the voting period for this past Amazon pilot season. So Amazon does this thing where they put out a bunch of pilot episodes for different shows that they're considering picking up, and they let you, the viewer, watch them and then take a little survey on them, and I've greatly enjoyed doing it in the past.
Right, and that's how we found Difficult People, and I didn't know they picked it up. That's how I saw that first episode of Difficult People.
Oh, it was an Amazon one?
It was yeah.
Oh, I think Hulu might have done that too, but anyway.
Oh, it was one of those that we watched, because we watched it at the same time and talked about it, and I never knew it got picked up, and then I'm like, and then Difficult People, there's 20 episodes of this show?
Sure. And then that's how we found Good Girls Revolt. I think that's originally how Transparent got greenlit, but I might be wrong on that.
I think that's true as well.
There are several series that have since been picked up as Amazon originals that have come out of this. There was the one with Tig, what's her name? The One Mississippi Show that came out of the pilot episode. There have been a bunch. There's the Christina Ricci one that everyone loves but me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. So I'm late to the party. The voting is over, but I watched the pilot today. I watched a lot of TV today.
Yesterday.
Tuesday. Why not? It's the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, or the Magnificent. I don't know. Mrs. Maisel is the moral of the story. Again, super cute show. I was just captured.
Okay.
Right? And this one's about like this Jewish princess in like 50s. You know, 1950s, 1960s New York. She's got everything the Jewish princess could ever want. Like, it starts at her wedding and how wonderful the guy is, and then it fast forwards a couple of years and they've got the two kids and they live like downstairs in the big apartment building from her parents, and they've got the kids and he's got the job and the whole thing, and then the whole thing goes to shit and gets hilarious, and I can't wait to see where it goes after that. I know. Like, it starts out with this picturesque, like, 50s life.
Jews inside hilarity.
In a
TV series.
Jews and comedy made for each other.
Like Dykes and Dogs.
I'm saying.
Alex Bornstein is in it. Tony Shalhoub. Gilbert Gottfried. It's got a great cast.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. Janine Garofalo makes a little appearance there in the first episode.
I'm like, oh, and it's by what's her butt that wrote and directed The Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
It's Amy Sherman Palladino.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's been picked up for not one season, but two.
So thank God.
We have that to look forward to. Thank God. The world's been missing it.
And to go back on my topic.
Let's.
Everyone is debating about second seasons of 13 Reasons Why, because they leave it with a bit of a cliffhanger.
Oh.
And since the end of Big Little Lies ends with somebody watching the girls through binoculars, it leaves you like, is that the second season? Who's watching them through binoculars?
Anybody that wants to make money at TV wants to leave that opening for the sequel.
And so now there's a new thing of like, just have a limited run. Like, just say
right, just say what you gotta say and get move out. On with your life.
Like, 13 Reasons Why, there's 13 sides to the tapes, so you need 13 episodes in theory, but they could have got that done in like 8.
Right.
But they really flesh it out, and I think without that, Kate Walsh wouldn't have such a brilliant performance. Like, you really wouldn't get to know Kate Walsh as well as you do. And it's one of those performances that, like, she's one of those times that you're just like kind of laying there in your bed watching your iPod and you just realize I am seriously crying. Like, I'm, like, not even realizing that, like, I'm, like
this
flowing
is, like,
tears
not
under
cute
the pillows.
Crying,
yeah.
Right. You know, sometimes I turn on...
But it's not like they're killing a dog, and you're like... Blah, 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 blah.
No. Sometimes I turn on my weekly episode, An Indulgence of Grey's Anatomy, and really just hope that they're going to bring Kate Walsh back for no reason at all. Like, I really just hope that she comes back at some point.
And after watching this, this is one of those things where, like, anywhere you want to use her. Go ahead.
Anyway, I even watched that stupid judge show that she had for a minute.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
Sure.
She's
good. Yeah, it was a terrible show, but Kate Walsh was on it, so I watched it for a while.
And if you squint your eyes, you can pretend it's Deborah Messing.
Oh, also true.
Yeah.
Also true.
Yep. Same song. And she had the husband from...
Oh, my God, the husband from Smash.
Is Kate Walsh's husband.
James Brian Darcy. Yeah. Brian James Darcy.
The guy that
Darcy
played Shrek
James
on
Brian.
Broadway, yeah. However, all those things. He's the Tatum Channing of... Yeah.
He's all those names
of the theater
at one time.
Set.
Channing Tatum, Tatum,
exactly.
Stalker, Stalker, Channing.
I almost thought he got it. I almost thought he got it because he said it so effortlessly, and then I realized he got it backwards.
That's fine. It's totally fine. All right. That's all I had for entertainment, but now I want to know.
We go inside the Russian nesting doll.
Now, next layer. There has been this story, and it was like kind of interesting the first time that I read it, and now it has appeared everywhere, including last Sunday's paper.
Oh.
About some study that some nerds did about why your shoelaces come untied. And I want someone to tell me why it's everywhere. Why is it everywhere, Clayton McKee?
Well, they're starving for real news.
Is it just a slow news week? Because as it turns out, like there's the like jarring motion of your foot hitting the pavement that kind of loosens the knot, and then the swing of your legs and the laces and the whole thing. But like when I read it in the Sunday paper, I almost threw the Sunday paper at somebody because I was like, why the fuck is this in the paper?
I always double knot. I always have, so I don't have the issue.
Well, I have two things.
Two things. Please do.
First, it always happens to me, but only on one foot.
Interesting.
Like, both shoes do not come untied, just the left one does.
Do you have some sort of, like, a limp? Or are you like...
Yeah, like, right. There's a physical impairment that we...
Are you like Igor? Like, step drag,
but
step
it makes
drag,
you feel like that,
drag.
Where you're like, what am I doing wrong?
Nice hump.
Yeah. What hump? It's pronounced Igor.
My humps.
And then, the one day... I pull into a random Chevron station to enjoy some gasoline, and I had to go in and
like
chat with the gasoline human.
Sure.
Because the machine outside wasn't working. And she's like, can I tell you a story? And I'm like,
yeah.
What has gone wrong in my life that the gasoline human has something to say?
Can I tell you a story?
She's
about
like,
a man
my
named Jen?
Son, his one shoe always comes untied, and I can't get him to just double knot the fucker. What should I say to him? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm like, but that's been happening to me my whole life, and I've never even thought about double knotting that, but my one shoe always comes untied. She's like, wouldn't you just get slip-ons or something? Wouldn't you fix that? And I'm like, why me?
Why?
What have
me?
I done? What did I do?
Was your shoe untied at the time?
Or you walked... a lot like him. Maybe you're walking.
Stumble drag.
You were walking doily into the Chevron.
You know, my son's a homosexual and his left shoe is always untied.
You know him? His name's Scott. He has track lighting.
I just hope that when I'm portrayed in a story, somebody calls me the nursing human.
Done.
That would be fair.
Done. I, you know what, prior to this, I've referred to you as the drinking human.
Also fine.
Or the wine and vodka human.
All good things.
Yeah. Somebody says to me, hey, can you recommend a good wine? I would say, let me call my wine and vodka human. Hey, Al.
That's so fair.
It really
that seemed
is.
That seemed nice to me. I want to make it clear by being annoyed about... I'm not annoyed that there was a study about the shoelaces. I think science is important. it's true. And so this led me...
I agree. I do agree with that.
This led me on an expedition to look up because I know that so many like important scientific things that people have discovered over time were super accidental.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We're all accidental. In fact, the top 10 of them include super glue... sweet and low, the microwave.
All right, what were they trying to invent that they came up with sweet and low?
Sweet and low.
Like a weed killer?
Probably.
Yeah, kind of. In 1879, at work in a laboratory at Johns Hopkins University, the scientists, they paused to eat and had forgotten to wash their hands before the meal, which usually leads to quick death for chemists, but for this one, he noticed that it was oddly sweet.
And he lived.
And lived. Yeah, this one, I read several articles. This one doesn't say what they were actually working on.
But they came up with saccharin.
But yeah, just some chemists that were working in a lab, stopped to have a sandwich, forgot to wash whatever the fuck they were working on off of their hands, and went, oh, it's a little sweet.
It's be gold in them hills.
What is that? Because we should put that in my coffee.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Do any rats, they're going to die.
In 40 years, when we discover diabetes, we'll have an alternative.
Yeah. Teflon was an accident. The pacemaker was an accident.
Isn't Teflon still an accident, though?
But let me tell you, the eggs just slide right off.
No stick. No stick.
Yeah, so I'm not angry at the people who have been researching the shoelace thing. I'm just a little frustrated with the news people.
Yeah.
Because every outlet seems to have thought that this was newsworthy.
Well, let me tell you how this happened.
Tell me.
It was the person on April the Giraffe, and they're like,
what's next?
We need some filler until April pops that out. Because all I've been writing for 3 weeks or 2 months is still walking, still pregnant.
Is today the day? No, it's not. I'm so glad that that's over with.
Oh, aren't we all?
Mm-hmm.
And then in my second thing, nested them right together. I was hoping to have a glorious story of a Cinderella victory. So because of my obsession with the Pod Save America people and their media empire.
Fair.
Right. They've been following. So what's been happening, not necessarily here in Arizona, but in some parts of the country, as the new president starts picking people out of various places of government to do a shitty job at a federal level that leaves open seats elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are all of these special elections happening. Mm-hmm. And
we're getting a runoff now.
Right. Is this the Georgia thing, the John Ossoff thing?
Yeah, the Georgia thing ended up in a runoff.
Did it end up in a runoff? Yeah, I was hoping that it was going to be a glorious victory. But the thing that is starting to happen, and Maddow's talking about it, the Pod Save America people are talking about it. Although the chick who filled in for Maddow last night.
Joy?
Is English her second language?
I don't know.
I don't know what she looks like, but listening to her, I was like, honey, can you find a sentence and put it together?
I didn't watch last night. Once I saw it was Joy, I didn't. I mean, my mom loves Joy. I like Joy here and there, but I watch for Maddow. I mean, that's my alone time with my recliner.
I'm sure she's a lovely person, but that teleprompter was not her friend.
Lotion and a tissue.
I had to remove both tissue and lotion from the living room.
And we all thank
you. Maddow most of all, I think.
A weary world rejoices.
I got a camper you could ride with me to Coachella.
That poor woman could not read the sentence structure on the teleprompter to save her life. I had to finally turn it off. I was like, I can't listen to you.
And it's terrible when somebody has a night like that.
Yeah. In any event, what seems to be happening,
we do it every
happening
week.
In some of these really small special elections is that in places where Democrats shouldn't be winning at all, they're starting to win. And John Ossoff was kind of the big bellwether that everybody was looking at to see, because he's a millennial. He's young. He's like 30.
Mm-hmm.
If he's 30, he's in a district that he shouldn't be winning, that hasn't been held by a Democrat since before Newt Gingrich was in that House seat.
Right. No one should even be close.
Right.
The
no
margins
one
are tightened
close.
Up like crazy.
That's one of those things that the Democratic Party ordinarily just ignores and says, nope.
Yeah,
we're not even showing up. Like, right. Maybe we want to put some fool up there so they can lose, but we're not putting any money or effort into this, which I think is a terrible mistake, and I've been ranting about this for years. Like, why is there nobody running there?
Right.
Always run someone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who it is. If it's get the lawn human and stick him in a jacket and put him on there. But yeah, he seems to be doing very, very well. So he didn't get 50% of the vote.
No,
I don't see stats on it. Do you have a CNN update?
I do not. I did, there was an update. Okay. Yes, I did have a CNN update.
But, at one point he was above 50%, but then it didn't happen. So at 12:05, in a field of 18 candidates, and I think he was the only Democrat.
I think you're correct.
Good for him.
So it will go to him and Karen Handel. Sometime in June.
Cool. Good on him.
So the only thing though that they're going to do now, because of that, the R's are going to just deploy everybody and their fucking brother down there do that.
But making them waste a lot of money on a solid district is a good thing.
Yeah.
The fact that in an off year, mm-hmm. they're having to waste this kind of money is amazing.
So I'm hoping that at the same level, if not more so, that the D's get out there and just flood everything and get that and rally that support that's already kindled for him.
That's already there, yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, all the lefty leaning pundits that I've listened to and you know, the Maddows and the PodSafe people and even NPR is kind of like pushing you that way while they're trying to stay impartial. They're all just commenting about how much energy is out there and how, you know, honestly, the Democratic Party doesn't know what to do with it. They're like, why are all these people here? We don't
Well, there was the election in Kansas that they literally got 45 and Pence to do robocalls for. They sent Paul Ryan to a fucking airplane hangar to do a little tiny rally in this little city or whatever the hell it was. Just because, they're scared as hell. And they're like, we got to do something.
They only won by like 6 points.
Yeah, very, very tight margin.
Which they had no chance on that one. This one is...
Yeah, and that one in Kansas, they were supposed to, you know, they historically lose by like 20 points and only lost by 6.
Yeah.
Like, that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but I've been following that and figured it would be wrapped up by the time that we got to this part of the show. So, I put it on my list and there it is.
Check that off right there. My God.
There's two things about two things and then a bonus thing.
Extra things. Extra things.
And I think that's all I got.
All right.
Do you have anything else for entertainment? I'm really excited to go home and watch this Bee Gees Demi Lovato thing.
It's very good.
I love her.
Very tasteful.
I love her.
I'm sensing
one of the Jonah Brothers does an Andy Gibbs song.
She's really good friends with Nick.
Yeah. Does an Andy Gibbs song.
They're besties.
And it went a little awry, but it was okay. Celine Dion has, I guess they wrote a song for Celine Dion at some point.
Sure.
A country duo does Islands in the Stream because they wrote that, and that's really nice.
That is what we are.
Yeah.
No one
in between. And it was kind of weird because I was trying to, no. It's the mother of all bombs. It's so ridiculous that...
I have no reason to talk about that at this point.
Yeah.
Was there anything else you were going to bring up or talk about, or are we going to end the show early tonight?
You know, Anant, you could talk back to us about the mother of all bombs, though. Like, we know what kind of coverage that gets here. Does that make your radar, or is that just from you, like, reading American...
right, yeah.
American outlets? Like, is that a thing that's being talked about worldwide? Like, oh, look at the Americans and their giant bomb. I don't know. Okay, and what else do you want to talk about? We're on a delay, so hurry up.
It seemed it seemed slightly more pointed than the Syrian airstrike that the airfield was up and running within an hour. Like
the whole thing feels like there's nobody at the helm. Like the whole thing just feels like.
And North Korea is like how we're all gonna die. Like
all Indians and no chiefs. And you're right. The San Bernardino shootings. You know, I just saw that.
Is that the
headline.
Live on Facebook?
No, I think that just happened today. One guy, three different... Oh, wait.
Right.
That happened 2 weeks ago.
No. Oh, wait, no, that's... You're talking about the school shooting? Oh, wait, was it in Fresno today?
There was one in California. Three places, right. One guy, they think they got him.
Not terrorist-related. He just was trying to kill as many people for whatever reason, because he's just a dumbass. Yeah, that was today. But no, there was the San Bernardino was a... There were school shootings. Was it two weeks ago?
Oh, that's right. One kid died in a... And like a murder suicide, right? And one kid was killed.
Oh yeah,
oh, it was the husband of the teacher that came in. He went for her, and a kid got in the crossfire or something to that effect.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's so many shootings here that
it's hard to keep
attention.
Track.
It is hard to keep track because there is
America,
a school
we just,
shooting a week.
Yeah, we just shoot people. Yeah. I honestly, it's terrible. It doesn't even faze
it's
me anymore.
Sad that you're right. It's yeah.
And because we're 20 years into this now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Our war on guns.
Oh, pretty well.
No,
it's in
Columbine
almost,
20 years ago.
Almost 20 years ago. I think
pretty
it's
pretty close.
I think it's 99. So I think it's 18 years ago.
Yeah, that makes sense because I was just past high school age when it happened.
And now they're calling. Somebody in Fresno, California, shot three people.
Right.
And now they're calling that a hate crime.
Okay.
Because he put a dislike for white people and government officials. On his social media.
But is disliking white people a hate crime? Like, white people are pretty despicable right now. Can we really call that a hate crime?
I'm not happy with all of them.
I mean, it's just funny that people are like, oh, it's just a crime. You can't call it a hate crime. But now it's white people. So now, oh, they're all on board. You know what I mean?
White people are the most hateful.
But it wasn't a hate crime until they went into the church and killed the people praying. But then when they said it was a hate crime because they were black, remember, McCain's wife. Lindsey Graham was oh no, we don't know it's because they're black. We think it's because they're Christian, so it's a hate crime. And then it turns out it was just because they were black. Then Lindsey Graham was all like, it's not a hate crime, it's just a crime. Like, they're fucking idiots.
You know, my local housewife hate monger, Nancy Bartow, just recently posted State Senator Nancy Bartow, recently posted an article about Christians being the most persecuted people on earth.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Poor Christians, especially in America.
A girl I went to school with in Tulsa, my junior and senior years of high school, posted today, and I don't remember why we became friends on Facebook, but we did. But she posted something today. Why is it that everybody depicts Christians as being crazy? And it was all I could do, because there were other people. They don't believe. You know, they don't follow. They're not. You know, all these bullshit things.
Because y'all are horrible people.
I wanted to post so bad because, you know, things like, you believe in a book of stuff that's not proven. Like, you believe in the monster in the sky is going to get you for this, that, or the other thing. I'm like, you don't believe anything based in fact, only except when it's convenient for you. But anything else about evolution and the fact that Earth is millions of years old, otherwise, what is it, the other girl, like, it's 6,000 years old or whatever the hell? Like, no, like, I'm not... That's why, because you're just fucking idiots. And you're blindly following. That's what drives me crazy. And again, I've said that multiple times. It just drives me so crazy that all these people just blindly follow and all this stuff is fine.
Yeah.
Because it's in this book and I can go to this church and pay. I oddly was thinking today, this was, I saw a car, really weird point of reference. Saw a car in traffic that was an early 80s old Chrysler car that a family member of mine, I had a great aunt who was a nun back in Missouri. My mom listening to this is going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Anyway, the family had purchased her wealthy side of the family had purchased her a car because she didn't have one and she needed one obviously to get and do and whatever. But they take a vow of poverty, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So my thought, for some reason that bounced off something else today in my head. And I was thinking, how does that work in the church where all of these people take this vow of poverty? How do they look upon the people like that weird-faced guy that has the mega church in Texas, that Joel Osteen? Like, how do they look upon these people that we're all supposed to take this vow of poverty?
Well, the only one that takes it seriously is the nuns. The nuns live in poverty while the...
poverty, right.
While the priests live in palaces and drink fine wine and drag jaguars.
I don't get why somebody doesn't just like raise a flag.
Well, because they can't point a finger. The Pope lives in a castle.
No, I get that.
So they're not following it. So who are they gonna point a finger on? At?
No, I know that. But why nobody speaks up about this? I don't get that.
Like, no, we all do. It's just that they can't hear it or say anything. They have to go la 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 la. They live in a castle.
But the nuns.
But the nuns do because they treat women like shit in the Catholic Church.
Because the nuns are women.
The nuns take it seriously and they live in poverty. But the priests don't. The priests take a salary.
I get all that. I just don't understand. Like, why has that never been? I don't see that being brought up.
The church, like dykes and dogs, they go together. Like, you can't explain the hypocrisy that goes on.
So for somebody to post on Facebook, I don't know why the Christians are looked at as being such crazy people. I'm like, holy shit.
Well, the people that come up with judge not, yes, ye be judged, are the ones that are like judging everybody. Like, you can't with one hand say this and with the other hand be all judgy. Like,
right.
You got to pick your one do you believe?
Right.
So I want to answer in the chat room because an aunt is going off on the rant that we're all very familiar with about, you know, how when we're watching little kids be shot in school, are we still a country that loves our guns? And it's the answer is because we decided, the collective we, not we at this table, but the we in government and the we in power have decided that guns are more important than children.
Yeah.
That's the end of that sentence.
Oh, guns are more important
than
everything.
We have decided that guns are more important than children in this country, and your right to own a gun is more important than your child's right to get an education.
Or to live. Right. Just period, live.
Yeah. And we learned that. I mean, we learned that with Sandy Hook. We learned it with Columbine.
Right. And after Sandy Hook, like, if there was... If the President of the United States gets on TV and cries about it and nothing happens, then nothing's ever going to happen.
Yeah. And that's what I always say. Like, it's a done argument. You're never going to win the argument because no one's listening.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. That side's got their lined in the sand, and there's you can show them all the... Well, first off, you have Alex Jones saying...
It's all fake.
It's all staged. Fake, that it right. never happened. It was all staged, which he'll say about any school, that it's all fake.
And all the actors.
The sheriff in Oregon who said that Sandy Hook Newton shootings were all fake.
Until
it happened in his town, and he was a denier.
Right.
And then he all of a sudden had to be the sheriff in a town.
Saying, oh, shit.
Like, yeah. We just had a mass shooting, and Alex Jones is going to now say that I'm part of the conspiracy. So, I don't know.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that there is anything left that could affect our entire country to make a shift, like a collective conscious shift.
Yeah, when as soon
for the better. Like, if shooting children in school is not the thing that's going to on a lot of issues, this isn't just about guns, but if that wasn't the tipping point, like, what is left?
Yeah.
What horrible thing could be left?
Right.
That could happen that would change this country for the better. I don't know what it is. Like, there's not one single catalyst. It's going to have to be the hard, long trudge through the mud, the grassroots.
Yeah. And we're 240 years into this experiment, so that's not changing. Like,
right.
Not quickly, not soon.
Not in our lifetime. I don't think in your lifetime.
That moral awakening is not happening.
Yeah.
In the foreseeable future.
But it doesn't matter, because we're all going to die in a nuclear war.
Real soon, it seems.
That may be real soon.
Right.
Oh, and Veep is back. In the first episode, I need like two more watchings of that, because I got to write some of that shit down. It was just vile.
Yeah.
Oh, so wrong. So wrong and so funny on so many levels. If you're not watching Veep, I don't know what you're doing with your life. Because
I haven't. Here's my thing with Veep. You've been talking about Veep for quite a while, and I've seen different things. Like, for example, when somebody put the spicy news conference with the credits of that. It was funny, even though I've never seen Veep, but I thought that was very funny how it was put together, and I can see how it almost looks real, but you know that it's not. Or it was real, but it was comedic. With Veep now, I feel like, how many seasons in are they?
Seven?
No. Well, between five, but there's only a couple episodes. There's only like eight per season. So you're barely at a full...
So my question is, do I need to get, like, there's running jokes that go through this whole fucking thing. Yes. Do I need to go back?
There's no reason to jump in. Like, there's no reason to, like, in this world, there's no reason to jump in at season six. Like,
go back and watch it,
because it's one of the funniest shows that's ever been on television. And the opening joke with the got hung on his own retard, I mean, is just the fact that they make Shakespeare into a joke that is funny at one point and horrifying a second later.
Oh my God, Andra Day's in this thing?
And it's crazy, 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 crazy.
Like, she's watching. Wow.
And it just keeps building on the inevitable joke. And each season has its own joke that finally pays off. And Jonah Ryan, it's just, I mean... Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Paul Ryan was a big enough thing to even be something to know who he was. Like, when it started, that Jonah Ryan is his name, like, that they just landed on...
Oh, that's the biggest a happy accident.
Tool, yeah, just the mm-hmm. biggest tool in the world. That he's now Congressman Ryan.
Apparently the entire Ryan family is just a tool.
Yeah. Funny, funny, funny.
There's that. All right.
And again, on Sunday, because that's the only day that they have TV anymore, is Sunday.
Used to be Thursday, now it's Sunday.
I don't see any reason to do a final segment, do you?
I'm good. Do you have a question? Do you have a pressing question for us?
I really don't.
Okay.
Well, there's that.
So long, suckers! I'm going to go watch the Bee Gees, because now I know that Andra Day's in this, too. What the fuck? And Tori Kelly?
You got a lot going on there,
Kat. I got
a
lot to do today.
It's very good, and you forget how many songs.
All the songs. I know.
All the songs they wrote. Nice tributes, and I never heard of that. I never heard of the Celine Dion song.
Someday you will. You're hopeful. All right, well, my gosh, we made it through not quite 3 hours, but... Take that 20 minutes and use it wisely, would you, please?
Do some good in the world.
As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.
Some bridges at Wendy's.